Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By Kratty Insurance Agency, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. By Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next project. By Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg, you better call Dave's. By Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street, home of the lifetime warranty. By Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Silver Streaks Football is also brought to you by McDonald's in Galesburg and Knoxville. I'm loving it. By the all-new Galesburg Toyota, the dealership everyone is talking about. By Kehoe Eye Care, they care for people, not just eyes. By Midstate Manufacturing, the headquarters for any of your steel material fabrication or powder coating needs. By Century 21 on North Henderson in Galesburg, your local leader in real estate. And by Yem Auto Group on North Henderson in Galesburg, home to Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Say yes to Yem. Proud to bring you GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
The Alamut Pioneers are the opponent. Van Dyke Field at F&M Bank Stadium is the venue. And the weather is chilly and damp, but the sky conditions should be all right for Silver Streaks football. Final two games of the regular season at home and coming off a victory, no less, on the road at United Township. I'm Brad Benowitz along with Sean Hickey next to me in the press box. Jake Miller down on the field. Sean McCutcheon, our broadcast engineer. We're excited to be with you in, well, certainly the coldest night of the season. We've lamented early on in the season how much we were anxious for some traditional football weather, because we had some hot, miserable nights. We had lots of nights with rain in the forecast or storms in the forecast, as the case was last week. And now this is more late October, early November-ish. But doesn't matter once the kids are getting out there in the field and once they're out playing the action, things will heat up quickly, and we're anxious to have it for you. 40 degrees is where we are under cloudy skies. The feels-like temperature is 37 with a slight wind west-southwest. Jake, you're down on the field. And, of course, with the turf being put in 4 years ago, I think it's been now, this obviously absorbs the rain very well. But you still can't help the fact it's a little bit wet down there. What are you noticing from your standpoint?
Yeah, you walk around on it, and it's a little bit wet. But as you said, this is playing on this stuff. This is the 7th out of 8 weeks that we'll be playing on the turf instead of the natural grass. So the guys will have no problems. Like you said, it's a little bit chilly, but once they get moving, they won't have any problems with that. It's dry. The football should remain fairly dry. There's a little wind to speak of, so these guys will be they won't even think about the weather. It's a beautiful night, and go Streaks, I guess. I mean, it's just a great night here to be. The Streaks are black on black, as they are traditionally here at home, and the Alamut in their whites and greens, a very traditional look for them too. And we'll see two different styles tonight, and it'll be a fun game to watch.
And I do want to have you update. You're getting updates from a very close friend of yours and an old buddy of ours here on that Granite City game, because they're playing Alton tonight.
Yeah, you were talking about how Coach Washbaugh was trying to avoid, hopefully, them playing for their life, but it looks like that's what's going to happen. The Alton running back has run for 3 touchdowns on 3 offensive plays, and Granite City's down. They're down 21-0 as it is right now. So,
James Hayden's kick goes into the end zone, where Alamut downs it, and the Pioneers will have the ball at the 20-yard line to start off the action tonight. Behind quarterback Sam Matichek, his third year on the varsity, his second full season as the starting quarterback at 6 foot, 170 pounds, and he is very much a threat out of the traditional triple option. At least that's what Alamut will run most of the time. And look for Nate Sheets, the fullback, to get his fair share of the carries tonight. 6 foot, 195 pound, just a junior, along with Josh Tim and Max Contreras, the other two out of that wishbone formation. Tim, 6'1", 190, a senior. Contreras, 6'3", 180, a junior. We'll talk about the Alamut offensive line here after this. First play from scrimmage, the handoff goes to the left. Trying to bounce to the outside is the fullback, Tim, or rather it's, Sheets, rather. And he steps out of bounds at the 34-yard line for a first down.
Jake, wouldn't you agree that was just a basic dive play that he, basic dive that he bounced outside of that to get the first down?
Right, yeah, that, there was no option on that. That's just kind of a, we used to call that basically lock lead, and it's a give the whole way. He just bounced it. And here's toss.
Toss play to Tim, circling from left to right, trying to get to the outside. The streaks contain him, keep him to the inside. He cuts up across the 35 to about the 37-yard line for a short gain, but forward progress for the Pioneers. Behind the offensive line, left tackle Daniel Reyes, left guard Tristan Lindbeck. The center is Logan Scherer. Anthony Glancy, your right guard, and Peyton Woods, the right tackle. They start four seniors and a junior, that being Woods at right tackle. But you can't help but notice the size of Glancy at 6'3", 270. Here's second and seven for the
Ball's
Pioneers. Ball gets free, and it looks like Sheets recovers it at the 39-yard line. Streaks forcing three turnovers against United Township last week. That was a season high, but very much part of the victory. Still goes as a gain of two to bring up third and five.
Yeah, very lucky the ball bounced right back to him, and the Streaks were unable to get on it. That is something you see sometimes with traditional option teams is the fullback thinks the quarterback's going to keep it. The quarterback thinks he's going to give it, and you get a little mistake.
On third and five, handoff fullback goes to the right. Sheets dragged down, but battling forward, gets the first down up to the 45-yard line. He was stopped initially a yard short of the first down marker, but he was stopped by the jersey, so the Streaks didn't have a real good lock on him, and he just battled his way forward, crossing the 45 to the 46 for the first down.
You know, Jake, one of the things we talk about with how successful Pioneers are with Matichuk at quarterback is that they're successful when he keeps the ball. And what we've seen here so far in this drive is we've given him reads that he wants to give the football instead of keeping it. Is that something we want to continue doing?
That's undoubtedly how we're coaching this up.
In the short gun, and a flag comes in from the sideline. And a false start against the Pioneers will be their first penalty of the game.
Yeah, to continue with what Sean's saying, this is undoubtedly a strategy of the Streaks. We know who their best carrier of the football is, and it's the quarterback. And, you know, in a traditional option offense, the fullback is the best player. Allman's going to do it a little different. So I like the strategy. You've seen that obviously they are running off chunks. They aren't big, giant chunks of yardage. This Allman offense has put up points on just about everybody. You know, you saw what they did with Quincy last week. You know, they matched them early, you know, and then Quincy just kind of ran away with it. So this offense is formidable.
First and 15.
Speed option.
Quarterback Matichuk keeps it and stops short of the original first down marker. So he gets four of the five penalty yards back up close to the 45-yard line. And it'll be second and long. We played 2 minutes here in this game, just getting underway at Van Dyke Field. We'll have senior night ceremonies for the Silver Streaks next week. Final game of the Western Big Six here tonight with the visiting Pioneers in town, needing a win to remain in the hunt for a playoff berth.
And speed option is the Allman counter to what we're doing against their triple. You take the fullback out of the mix, and then he's a 50-50 shot at carrying the football.
Knoxville and Elmwood Brimfield tied at 8, second quarter. Rolling left, Matichuk looking to throw, has a man open, and it turned out to be closer to a Silver Streaks pick, but Nico Delagiannis couldn't catch up to it. In fact, I'm not so sure Nico didn't see the ball coming. I think he had his eyes more on the receiver.
Yep.
And Nico didn't see the ball coming because he was the closest to it and had a chance.
Yeah, he was a little bit beat by the receiver, so he had his eyes on the receiver to catch up, which he was doing. Unfortunately, if he had his eyes in the backfield, then he'd have been able to look at that pass and maybe pick it off. But in man-to-man defense, as he was running there, by that point in time, it was man-to-man, and he had his eyes on the defender or on the receiver.
Third and 12, Pioneers from their own 44. Short drop by Matichuk, steps up, throws far sideline, and overthrows the intended receiver. It falls incomplete, and the Streaks hold defensively, and they'll force the Pioneers into a punt.
And that's good to see. You know, we talked about stopping the run last week, and that's one thing, stopping the run against UT. It's another thing to stop the run, especially the Streaks' troubles that we've had this year. To stop a run against this offense is a very good sign in the opening drive of this football game.
Well, I was confident about it because, you know, passing is not their deal. That's not what the Pioneers want to do. And when they were passing the ball on second down, we were really in a good position there because that's not what they want to be doing. And so then they came back with a third down pass, and here we are with fourth and 12.
Back to punt for the Pioneers is Connor Fitch, and the ball bounces short of the 30-yard line, picked up on a bounce by Kobe, trying to slip a tackle in the backfield, does, sprints forward, crosses the 30, wrapped up at the 35, and pushes the defender up to the 37-yard line. So a little tenuous on the receiving end for Kobe, but he gets a friendly bounce and allows him to make a pretty decent run back out of it and good start position for the Silver Streaks. Far hash mark at the 37, 9:12 to go here in the opening quarter.
Well, it was a little unorthodox punt, too. The punter held on to it longer than you normally would, and he kicked it. It was end over end. It was low. The coverage was already on top of him. So well done to field the ball and get what he got.
Connor Ayton drops back in the shotgun on this first play from scrimmage with two wideouts to the right. Kobe dropping down into the flat, receives it at the 40, to the 45-yard line, up the near sideline, steps out of bounds in first down territory, right at midfield at the 50 for a gain of 13 on a little run to the outside. And on the roll, Ayton finds Kobe right into the numbers for a good gain.
And how about the block downfield from Justice Gaston? You know, as we're we talked to his name a few times last week with the Panthers game, but he had a great downfield block, able to spring Kobe for a few extra yards.
Typical flood pass play, probably the most common pass play the Streaks run.
Streaks come in tight now. Two tight ends, Ayton under center. Hand off to Kobe, penetration in the backfield. Alleman pushing him to the sideline and finally bringing him down behind the line of scrimmage. Forward progress stopped at the 49-yard line for a loss of one. So then pushed backwards from there. So the first running play for the Silver Streaks loses a yard, and it'll be second down back in their own territory.
Trying to run belly there, and nothing got going there. The offensive guard wasn't able to pull and kick out or load block. It just was kind of a negative play from the start. Now the Streaks are going empty.
Just underway, 3.5 minutes into a scoreless game. First offensive possession for the Streaks. Ayton looking left, throws left, a little bit high, deflected and falling incomplete. Pass intended for David Vaynerman on the far side of the field, and it'll bring up 3rd and 11 for the Silver Streaks. And a first opportunity to see what they can do on 3rd and long.
Yeah, similar situation the Pioneers were in 3rd and long. 3rd and long is obviously low percentage. The Streaks will do a little better in that their offense is geared to making some plays at 10 yards or more, and the Alleman offense is not. You can look for maybe a draw here or a screen here in the middle of the field. We're going to go trips to the far side of the field, the left side of the field, with Justin Gatson by himself. Now they're going to switch it up.
Twins on both sides.
Yeah, Chase Castile lined up wide to the left. David Vaynerman wide to the near side of the field, the short side of the field. Low snap. Ayton fields it, looking left. Throws it left. Man wide open at the 40-yard line. First down, Silver Streaks. Complete to DeJuan Pulley. And down to the 33-yard line. A gain of 18 for the Silver Streaks. And they move the chains on 3rd and long. Got wide open. Found a seam. Ayton found him perfectly. Stared him down for a long time, and Alleman didn't catch up to it, and the Streaks are in business here.
Well, that's the type of play where, you know, Connor needs to go back to his offensive line and say thank you. They
right.
gave him plenty of time.
No doubt.
Was he staring him down? Yeah, because he had all the time in the world to pick apart the Pioneers' defense there.
Chase Castile shifts to the left, lining up at tight end. The Streaks run that direction with Kobe. Gets to the outside, inside the 30-yard line, barrels over a man trying to fight his way to the first down marker. Stopped short of the 25-yard line, but a flag down behind him at the 32.
And that's going to put the Streaks behind the chains again. You're going to get a hold on the perimeter. I wasn't able to catch the number, but that's almost guaranteed what it's going to be, and there it is. There's the call.
That was a real nice stretch play. I mean, I don't know if that was anything
right?
more than just you're going to zone block up front, and Kobe just gets the ball, and he picks a hole, and he finds anything that's there, and he was able to just bounce that out. And the hard thing is that for the linemen, maybe not knowing where that ball is going to be ran, they're blocking. As soon as the defender gets outside of him a little bit, he might grab a little jersey, and that's what the official saw.
Yeah, just outside zone blocking there.
Yep.
10-yard penalty takes it back to the Alleman 43-yard line, first and 20 for the Silver Streaks. Right as the whistle blows for the official to start counting the play clock, Ayton runs the play in from the sideline, and the Streaks head to the line of scrimmage. Gatson splits out wide to the left. Kobe's going to line up in the slot left. Two wideouts to the right side with the empty backfield. Ayton 4 yards short. 4 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Takes a snap. Wings one across the middle into double coverage and off of DeJuan Pulley's shoulders. Incomplete. The pass was there. In double coverage. He threaded the needle and Pulley just couldn't rein it in.
Absolutely. The pass was right on the money. Hit him right between the numbers and but that, you know, that receiver's there. He's in a lot of traffic. He's got the corner running with him and the safety coming over the top. And I think you heard the footsteps a little bit and just kind of let up just for a second to see where he was.
Chase Castile had a nice route there too, right over the middle.
Wide open.
He settled right in the middle of the zone, but obviously his eyes were somewhere else.
Yep.
That would have gone for a gain of about 10, so the Silver Streaks could have gotten the penalty yardage. Instead, second and 20 out of the I formation. Play fake, Ayton rolling right, throws off his
nice
back
catch.
Foot, and it's complete to Chase Castile. Off balance, but he reins it in at the 30-yard line, and the Streaks get 13 to bring up third and 7.
Nice pitch and catch there on the run as he's, as you said, he threw off his back foot. Usually not what you want to see, but he was rolling out, and that was going to his strong side being right-handed.
And the best part about that, he threw off his back foot, but he threw it on time.
Yeah.
And that's the key. He needed to get rid of it on time. And as you saw, Chase caught the ball and was immediately hit. If he waits and takes another step, that ball's late and it's going to get broken up or intercepted. So you see a lot of growth here from Connor. He's understanding the offense when he needs to get rid of the football. And we're in a position here at 3rd and 7 that we don't have to get it all back. This is probably 4-down territory for the Streaks.
3 completions to 3 different receivers, all of them for 13 yards or more. The Streaks need 7 here. Ayton again, back to pass with time. Throws it complete to Kobe. Far side 30.
Gets
inside to the 20-yard line. First down, Silver Streaks. Ramirez knocked out of bounds at the 19-yard line for a gain of 11. And the Streaks move the chains on 3rd down for the second time on this drive, which started back at their own 37-yard line about 3.5 minutes ago, and a new set of downs at the 19.
Well, Sean, you want to talk about offensive line play. Connor has all day to make this throw. That's probably his 3rd read he's going to there. He has at least 4 to 5 seconds. And if they're going to give him that, Connor might have a good fantasy night.
Well, not only that is, if downfield you get coverage and you get nice blocking up front, Connor has the wheels to tuck the ball and take off too. And if these guys get too far downfield as defenders, he can pick up easily 10 to 15 yards.
Rolling right on a passing down again. Now Ayton will tuck it in to the 20-yard line and wrapped up from behind and pulled down at about the 18-yard line. So a long run to pick up a yard. And credit for Alleman downfield with the coverage defensively, forcing Ayton to pick up a modest gain of a yard, 2nd and 9 from the Alleman 18.
You know, and you see something here that Coach Washbaugh obviously is looking at the Alleman defense. I think that's 4 pass plays in a row that we've run. And, you know, I haven't seen that obviously all year long. And it's something that they're seeing in the defense that they're able to exploit. And we're empty again, so you're looking for a 5th one probably.
Well, you're looking at Alleman as they're just adjusting to this. You know, they're in a typical 5-front, a 5-2, and they're having to adjust to twins on either side.
Ayton looking things over, throws it across the middle, thrown a little bit low and behind Castile
him.
At the 9-yard line. He couldn't pull that one in, and it falls incomplete for 3rd and 9.
Again, time to survey the field, time to go to different reads. This is something we haven't seen much of, a credit to what these boys up front are doing. And, you know, part of that comes from there isn't much. The last few weeks you see a sizable difference in the girth between our offensive line and the defensive lines, and the Streaks really match up with the Pioneers a whole lot better, and they're getting the job done today.
Well, one of the things that we're doing offensively here is by formation. Is formationally we're making them adjust, and they're having to rush 4 guys instead of 5, which they normally do, which is helping out with the coverage.
Elias Giles getting his first start of the season on the offensive line on 3rd and 9. Ayton throws it across the middle. Maybe an early hit at the 2-yard line, and there's a late flag coming in. The intended receiver downfield was Dewan Pulley, and he got hit in the backside right a split second before the ball came to him, and the pass interference penalty is what it should be, which would give the Silver Streaks a 1st down.
Yeah,
officials are
automatic.
Talking it over.
Not sure what the discussion here is. Automatic.
It's what we saw, and there's the call. So we can speculate all we want, but it's not official till the Zebras say it, and there it is. So the Streaks are going to get a 3rd down conversion by penalty, and the drive continues.
This is not a spot foul in high school. This is a 15-yard penalty, so it's going to be
half the distance. Yep.
So you're getting a 7.5.
Should be about the nine-yard line.
But so it's not automatic. It's not automatic. So you're going to get a 3rd and really short here. Boy, I'd call for him.
Which is unfortunate because had that been not half the distance, that would have been a 1st down.
Easily, yeah.
Because we had it was 2nd and 9.
Now the referee is coming in to eyeball it, and he is looking at the position of the ball in relation to the 1st down marker on the far side of the field. And there's a discussion going on as the Streaks were at the line of scrimmage, and they're going to back up here. I think they're going to call for the measurement, and they are.
Yeah, this is the right move. I mean, there's a huge difference between 1st and 10 and 3rd and short here, so you got to get this right. the difference is, the problem is they've moved this to third down, and if there's a penalty, that was a second down play, right? That pass was a second down play?
No, so it was third down.
It was a third down pass play. Okay, so then the third down
third
would be correct.
So
okay.
I was incorrect in saying second and nine.
Okay, I thought, because if it was second and nine, it should still be second down.
This comes at the 5:46 mark of the first quarter. This is the first drive of the game.
It's not. They're going to have to get out the index card. You remember seeing that in the NFL game?
Yes, it is. Right.
It's literally that close, guys. It's the index card. It's half an inch here, and that's, I'm glad they called them out to see that, not just eyeball that.
Well, the good news is it's two down territory for the Silver Streaks at the 9-yard line, and the only concern is.
Got to get it here.
Yeah, the possibility of any kind of missed exchange, but the Silver Streaks have been able to hold that down since some problems early on.
Sean, watch the defensive lineman. Allman's very traditional at stemming right here at the snap to try to get us to jump off sides.
Streaks have it packed in tight.
There they go.
They jump, and there's a flag. And they're going to say offsides. Yeah, offsides against Allman.
The backer yelled. I mean, you can't simulate a snap count. Exactly.
I saw David. Did you see David Vaynerman? He came over to the sideline. He was looking at the coaches, and he nodded his head really big. Mm-hmm. So I think the coaches absolutely had to expect that because that seemed to be Vaynerman saying, "Yes, coach, you called it."
Yeah, these guys know. I mean, we've known for a decade since Sean and I have coached that third and short, fourth and short, any short down situation, Allman likes to stem. And they do it quickly, and they try to get the offensive lineman to jump offside. So it's been coached up, but that doesn't always translate for the Streaks, to not jump.
First and goal at the 5, out of the I formation. To Kobe, hit short of the line of scrimmage and pushed backwards. He's going to lose a foot or two. It'll be second and goal.
Yeah, nothing going there on that offensive play. Just a slew of Allman defensive linemen in there. So either they stemmed or they did something. They slanted, and it obviously caused some confusion on the Streaks offensive line.
Well, it's just a giant bulwark that they ran into. They stacked them up and get them down for about a one-yard loss.
Second and goal for the Silver Streaks back at the 6 as the clock rolls close to the 5-minute mark here in this opening quarter. Streaks have taken 4 minutes off the clock on this drive. Ayton rolling left, now tucks it in. Skips past one tackle, pushed backwards, and steps out of bounds. I don't know if he even got back to the 6-yard line. He's going to go out right at the 6, so no gain after the long rain stretched him all the way out to the far side of the field, and it'll be third and goal.
Jake, do you think that was called?
Yeah, that's a complete
call. He tucked it pretty early.
Yeah, you don't normally sprint him out to the left on this close to the end zone and have him throw the football there. So that was a called run to try to get to the edge. Part of the problem was he wasn't able to sprint out immediately because the snap was a little low and to the right, and so he had to grab that, corral it, and get going to the left.
Mid-County with a 7-0 lead over Stark County in the first game. Also in the Lincoln Trail, Princeville leading Mercer County 7-0. Here, no score. 5 minutes to go, opening quarter between the Streaks and Allman. Galesburg with a third and goal at the Pioneer 6-yard line. Empty backfield for Ayton in the shotgun. Short drop, looking middle, pump fakes, rolling left. Pressure comes on. Ayton tucks it in, has to step out of bounds, and he does so back at the 7 or 8-yard line for a loss of 2 more. And it'll be fourth down now, and the Streaks send out Hayden for the extra point attempt.
Field goal.
I'm sorry, field goal. Right.
I wish it was the extra point attempt. It's going to be a field goal, and there's a nice article in the paper about James Hayden and his kicking, and that he's getting even a couple of looks, and this will be a 25-yard field goal, well within his range. He's easily got the leg for this. The tough thing here is it's on the left hash, so he's got a little bit of an angle to deal with, but no wind at all. The flag is limp. This should be, I'd bet on this kick going in.
Football feel a little heavy on this cold night. He gets the kick away. It's got the distance, and he missed it to the right.
Yeah.
So the field goal comes up off the mark, and with 4:48 to go in the first quarter, we remain scoreless.
Well, it's disappointing to come away from that without any points at all. I mean, we had a very nice drive. We got it down, what did we go, about 60 yards in the drive.
Yeah.
Brad's doing the numbers now to give us an idea of, how many plays we had and time of possession, but disappointing to come away with nothing on that.
45 yards. Silver Streaks took 4 minutes and 24 seconds off the clock. Of course, they were behind the line of scrimmage on third down once on a third and long and converted. Had a first and 20 after a holding penalty. They overcame both of those to keep the drive alive, and now they turn it back over to Alleman. Pioneers will have it at the 20. Handoff goes to the left. Sheets stacked up. David Vaynerman pushes him backwards, and Sheets picks up a short gain, but good defense by the Silver Streaks to contain that one.
Great pursuit there. What you need to do is anytime you have an option team that is out there, is you, if you're confused at all about where the ball is going to go, you got to keep playing, because all of a sudden, you know, the quarterback may be hiding it on his belly and he pops out, and you never know. So we had a great pursuit by our defense there. They end up with a 2-yard gain, but the push, the surge that came, ended up pushing a guy probably about 4 or 5 yards in the backfield.
Second and 8 for the Pioneers. Matichek brings the team out of the huddle. 2 wideouts to each side. Sheets, the fullback, lines up to his right. Matichek swings the pass to him to the outside. Patient run. Now he bounces to the outside, gets the first down, and tripped up.
Late flag.
Short of the 40-yard line.
Got a late we'll flag back here at the 25. 25.
I think it was Nico Delagiannis who got him on the far side of the field.
All right, that could really only be offensive. And one of those dumb ones that come from behind the, you know, behind the play and got a block in the back,
yep,
back here.
Sure enough.
And the play was back, you know, and it's just unfortunate that sometimes these kids keep going, and sometimes it's accidental, sometimes it's aggression and just losing your head a little bit. But this happens in high school football more often than you'd think. So this was a block that was unnecessary, and lucky for the Streaks, this is going to bring this one 15 yards back.
Yeah, spot of the foul at the 25-yard line, so it'll take it back to the 15. That's the fourth Alleman penalty.
Something else here, guys, that I'm not sure on the rule, but James Hayden kicked that football from the 15-yard line. He missed it.
They put it at the 20.
And they put it at the 20. That must be a high school thing. You miss a field goal.
Inside the 20, and they took it at the 20.
Gotcha.
I noticed that as well. I wasn't sure about that either. Short gun. Matichek swings it on the pass to the outside, and some lead blocking frees up the receiver to get some of the yardage back. That's Josh Tim on the reception, and he takes it out short of the 30-yard line for a gain of 14, and pretty darn close to a first down. They're going to be a yard short.
Jake, were our coaches yelling about our coverage there? I mean,
we were not lined up correctly to cover their trips, and then they unfortunately threw the perfect play.
Happened to be right
against the misalignment by the Streaks, and they're talking about that, and they're trying to get that cleared up right now. Outside linebacker has to walk out and make sure they cover up number 2.
It was certainly something that we did last week against East Moline that we exploited, that we kept hitting the what we call the now pass. It's not really a wide receiver screen, but it's a now. You just get it to him quickly.
3rd and 1, handoff right. Sheets gets the first down, breaks free out of the linebackers. Now he's up the near sideline to the 50. Streaks in pursuit and pushing him out of bounds all the way down inside the 30 at the 25-yard line is where the official will mark him out for a gain of 46.
Yeah, just simple triple option there, and that's obviously a go-to play on 3rd and short for any option team. They're just running inside veer, and he bounces it out to the left, and Sheets has some speed. He outran Derek Pettis down the sideline, and Eric Price, luckily not giving up on the play, saved a touchdown there.
First down, Alleman. 3 minutes to go, first quarter of a scoreless game. Pioneers have it at the Streaks' 25-yard line. Matichek on the keeper. Bouncing to the outside, and then wrapped up by Pettis and spinning him out of bounds at about the 22.
That's the first we've seen him keep it on traditional triple option.
Had a 3-yard run back on their first possession, but, yeah, it wasn't the same formation. 2nd down and 7 for the Pioneers from the 22-yard line. Under 3 minutes to go, first quarter. Sophomores lost 28-21. As they were led by freshmen in the fourth quarter in a comeback that the Streaks had the ball with a chance to tie the game late, but Alleman had an interception that ended the Streaks' scoring opportunity. Here's Matichek on a keeper, knifing across the right and then cuts back to the left, finally stopped at the 14-yard line as he picks up 8 for a first down.
Jake, was that quarterback trap?
Yeah, I think so. Out of the gun, and it's just kind of it looks like zone read, but you see guard pulling. I didn't absolutely see that. I'd have to look for that next time, but that's what it looked like. Eric Price making the play on that and running him down again.
Alleman in the red zone here. creeping ever closer to the streak's end zone with a first down at the 14-yard line. 2.5 minutes to go in a scoreless game. Man in motion gets the toss play, sweeping to the right side.
Rocket.
As they give it to Josh Tim, sweeping all the way to the far side of the field and knocked out of bounds or close to the sideline anyway, inside the 10 to about the 7-yard line.
Yeah, Jake said it right. That was Rocket there, but they also pulled the playside guard to get around. We leveraged it well to start with, but the guy gave a little jab in and then went bounced it back out. So our corner bit on the jab in and got the edge.
Second and
double
three.
Tight, and they go to the wishbone for the first time.
Uh-huh. And off to the left side, there hit at the line of scrimmage, and good defense by the Silver Streaks as the
whistle
handoff
blew.
Went to Max Contreras and then pushed backwards. See if they give him any forward progress at all. Streaks were ready for that one. They're going to nudge the stick forward. Not quite a yard. It'll be third and two.
Jake, you said that was wishbone. Were they flat? Was it a T formation?
It wasn't. It just the fullback was up in front of the other two backs, but it was closer to that. But
you got a better look than I do.
Yeah, that was wishbone.
Thanks for being with us for Silver Streaks football here on WGIL, Galesburg Radio 14. Brad Benowitz, Sean Hickey, Jake Miller with you from Van Dyke Field. Sean McCutcheon, our broadcast engineer, down to a minute and a half to go here in this opening quarter. And the Pioneers facing a third and two. And whistles. We're going to have a Streaks defensive timeout here from the 6-yard line. First timeout for either team here. Chance to let you know that the Churchill 8th grade cross country team had another successful day as Max Martinez qualified for the IESA Junior High Cross Country State Championships as an individual runner. He'll be racing in the state meet tomorrow afternoon in Normal. 1:15 is the scheduled start time. He's the fifth different Galesburg runner in the past 5 years to advance to the Junior High State Championship meet in cross country. So congratulations to the Silver Streaks Junior High Cross Country program with another strong finish again this year under head coach Chris Pyle.
And on the heels of that, too, talking about the youth program here with football, the 7th grade ended their season last week with an undefeated season. The 8th grade team ended up with one loss as they were 7-1. And then last night, the freshmen played here at home, and they beat Peoria Notre Dame, and they remain undefeated. So with those three lower levels, there's one loss among them. So a lot of hopes in the horizon for Galesburg football.
Bushnell West Prairie leading South Fulton at halftime, 22-0. Alleman running a 3rd-and-2 coming out of the Streaks defensive timeout, keeps it on the ground, but they're going to have a first down up to the Silver Streaks 2.5, maybe 2-yard line.
Looks like it's a better spot than that, Brad. They might put that at the 1.
Looks like just inside the 2.
Just inside the 2, okay. And they got the first down. So it would take a Herculean effort here to keep them out. You got 4 plays from about the 2-yard line. Streaks getting the call here. As we see Coach Turner back down on the sideline. Interesting. In the last couple weeks, he's been up in the boxes. Now he's back down here on the sideline.
First and goal Pioneers after the Silver Streaks came away empty on their potential scoring drive. Handoff goes to Sheets
and
running right, and he battles to the goal line for the touchdown. With 53 seconds to go in the first quarter. Well, it was Sheets' 46-yard run that was the electrifying play for the Pioneers on this now scoring drive. And he finishes it off with a 2-yard touchdown run.
Yeah, and that was on a third down, 3rd-and-1, wasn't it?
3rd-and-1, yeah.
And so here they were now, although it's first down, but it was still short yards, 1 or 2 yards.
Sure.
That seems to be the guy they're going to go to in short yardage situations.
In for the extra point attempt, Connor Fitch. And that one is good, and it's 7-0 Alleman with 53 seconds to go here in this opening quarter. 9-play scoring drive, covers 80 yards in just 3 minutes and 55 seconds.
Yeah, and that's the thing about option football. You lose your assignment one time, and you can break off a 46-yard run, and that's what happened there. The Streaks really, unfortunately, they weren't able to get off the field in 4 downs, but they held them to short yardage that entire rest of the way down. And that's something hard to do, but when you break off that big chunk, as they did on that 46-yarder, They're tough to defend. So the unfortunate thing also is that we have an ultimate scoring chance, and we were unable to come away with points.
Yep.
Alleman turns it right around and scores, so that's a heck of a swing in terms of momentum. The Streaks need to get that right back, hopefully get a good kickoff return here and get right back to work offensively and finish with 6 points.
You know, I talked in the pregame about mistake-free football, because that's what the Pioneers are going to play, and they've already had 4 penalties.
Yep.
You know, they've had those mistakes, but then you look at the mistakes that we've had too, a big play that we give up on 3rd and 1. You know, those are types of plays where, okay, you might give up 20 yards in penalties, but then they got 45 yards back with a run.
The kick is short, bouncing inside the 20-yard line, and Dylan McBride just watches it roll out of bounds. Yeah, that was a tough place to try to pick it up on the sideline. He did the wise thing of letting it roll over there, and when it rolls out of bounds, the Streaks are going to get it at the 35-yard line.
It looks like Alleman wants no part of kicking the ball to Kobe. That was a kind of directional kick, a little pooch kick right over Nico's head, and Dylan McBride is going to have to do the bulk of the kickoff returning again today. And that's smart strategy, obviously.
Unless that ball was intended for Nico, but there's just a little too much on it.
A little too much. Either way, they're picking half of the field, and it's the half that Kobe is not on.
Well, and if they want to do that, fine. We'll take the ball to 35. That's a good starting position.
Yep.
So 7-0 Pioneers after their scoring drive, and the Silver Streaks start this from the 35-yard line. Ayton with Ramirez lined up behind him in a short gun. Hands off to Kobe, finds a hole up the middle, bounces left to the outside, runs into the secondary, slips out of a tackle, and then finally brought down just short of the 50-yard line, maybe right at the 50. And Kobe was doing everything he could to break out of the cornerback Sam Matichek's hands, and Matichek was able to slow him down enough, but Kobe still picks up 15.
I was just going to say, we got to get something going offensively on the ground. We saw that we could move the ball in the air, but you can't necessarily count on that all the time, and you want to get Kobe going on the ground, and that's a great start.
Nice hold by the offensive line there. And once again, Justice downfield with a block, and he's still engaged with the guy driving him 15 yards downfield.
Prior to that play, the Silver Streaks had run the ball 4 times for 0 yards. Ayton rolling right with Kobe, a lead blocker, throws it complete to DeJuan Pulley at the 42-yard line, hit right as he catches it, but he hangs on to it, and it's a gain of 8.
Yeah, the ball was tipped, too, and it still went right to DeJuan. Good concentration there to hold on to the football.
Down to 3 seconds to go. The Silver Streaks will not get off one more play before the end of the first quarter. And Alleman leading it 7-0. You're listening to Silver Streaks football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Are you a diehard sports fan? Prove it! Head to the Athletic Holy Land. Breed Love Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. They have uniforms for the team, athletic shoes, spirit wear, letterman's jackets for all area schools, sports equipment, and they do custom lettering, screen printing. And of course, they carry all the hottest brands like Wilson, Rawlings, Louisville Slugger, Adidas, Holloway, Pro Celebrity, and more. And when it comes time to pay homage to your local sports stars, call Breed Loves for trophies, medals, signs, plaques, and awards. Breed Loves Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Everything sports.
Galesburg's News, Galesburg's Talk, 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
1 quarter gone at Van Dyke Field at F&M Bank Stadium. Alleman leading the Galesburg Silver Streaks 7-0. Silver Streaks with a 2nd and 2 from the Pioneer 42-yard line when we come back after the quarter break. Mentioned the junior high cross country program, and again, our best wishes to Max Martinez at the state meet tomorrow. Silver Streaks volleyball team lost its first 2 games at the Limestone Tournament earlier today. They'll play 3 times tomorrow. Streaks lost in 2 sets to Peoria Notre Dame and LaSalle Peru. LP, the top seed in the regional, when that opens up a week from Monday. Hand off to Kobe. First cuts down. Back across the middle with a first down.
Fumble.
Stacked up.
Fumble.
Ball broken free inside the 40-yard line. And it looks like the Silver Streaks got it back.
Yep, got it back.
Kobe got pushed sideways, and then once he got turned sideways, it's like that ball got exposed on the Alleman defensive side, and they were able to rip it out and knock it loose. And, Jake, could you see from down there who came out with that? Did Kobe get it back, or was it someone else?
I think it was offensive lineman. It was an offensive lineman that got it back. I couldn't see which one it was. He broke through, and then he just was met kind of chest-to-chest with the linebacker, and he was in kind of a – unathletic position, and the linebacker just stripped it right out.
So So it still goes as a first down for the Silver Streaks at the Alleman 37-yard line with Ayton in the shotgun of an empty backfield. Short drop, looking left, going long. Man open, wide pulley open. At the five. Touchdown.
Good job. Oh, we got a flag.
And it's against the Silver Streaks. Well. Connor is back here at the 41-yard line, bent over in frustration because pulley broke free. He had separation from the cornerback downfield as he got away from Tim, and Ayton found him perfectly on the money, and it's coming back.
So what could that guy, the side judge, call over there on
us? Yeah, it's on the opposite side of the field from where the action was.
A legal man downfield?
No, he called a hold.
From over there? Wow.
Yep.
Wow. Yikes. Right at about where the line of scrimmage was, so it's going to be first and 20 for the Silver Streaks. Back at the 47-yard line. Wow. Ouch, ouch, ouch. Negates a touchdown.
There must have been something very obvious there, but that's not his call. He has receivers going downfield that he needs to be moving with. That holding penalty should be by the two judges in the middle of the field, the white hat and the other judge behind the linebackers.
First and 20 for the Silver Streaks. 3 yards across midfield. Fake handoff to Dylan McBride. Swing pass to the outside. Gatson complete. Keeps the ball up high. Alleman tries to get up underneath it. Gatson is able to hold on to it, and it's Sheets who brings him down at the 41-yard line for a short gain.
That was a good play call there, but the ball was a little high. Justice had to jump up to get it. If he's able to keep his cleats in the grass and the ball's thrown to him, you know, on the run a little bit, we can get some more yardage out of that.
Sixth completion in this first half for Connor Ayton, 69 yards. First reception by Justice Gatson. Six receptions, four different receivers for the Silver Streaks. Here in this opening half, the Streaks trailing 7-0. Second and a long three. Kobe Ramirez to the outside, runs out of bounds, crosses the 40, close to the 35. He'll be out at the 35 for a gain of 6, and it'll be 3rd and 8 for the Silver Streaks.
Jake, we saw that play earlier, didn't we, in the game? That was the outside zone.
Yep, just a little outside zone play, and it's just a straight handoff, and they've had success on it twice now. The last time it was called back, I think, Sean, on a holding penalty, and then this time obviously gaining some yards on it, something to continue to go back to. So Streaks put behind the chains there. They're responding nicely. They got two downs probably here to get the remaining 7 yards.
3rd and 8 for the Silver Streaks at the 35-yard line, trailing 7-0, just underway in the second quarter. Ayton rolling right, looking, lots of time.
Ooh, nice.
Now tosses it over the defense into the hands of Kobe Ramirez.
Here.
Another flag down as Kobe receives it for the first down, brought down inside the 25-yard line, but another flag down on the opposite side of the field away from the action. The officials talk it over.
Legal
this time it
field.
Is an illegal man downfield. You anticipated that one earlier, Sean. This time it is what it is. So it negates a first down for the Silver Streaks this time. Last time it negated a touchdown, and they'll bring it back.
Yeah, unfortunately, they're going to call that on Kane Johnson. It's probably the right play here. And it's, you know, the linemen expect the ball to be gone at a certain time. As you saw, Connor kind of extended the play a little bit there with his legs, and he's got to stay home and stay within that 3-yard allotment.
Yeah, and all it takes is, Kane or any of those linemen to look over their shoulder and think, And that's why the play became open, because a corner came up thinking that he was going to tuck it and run. Time that in those linemen look back and say, oh, he's running, and they turn the field to go block, then Connor dumps it off, that those are the types of things that are going to happen.
So now 3rd and 13 for the Silver Streaks. Back at the Alleman 40-yard line, under 10 minutes to go first half. Streaks trailing 7-0. Ayton out of the shotgun. Straight drop back. Again, good time. Lots of protection. The rush is on. Now he found pulley open at the 30-yard line. But right as the pressure was coming on, Connor then had to get rid of it quickly, and he overthrew pulley at the 30-yard line. And it's now 4th down for the Silver Streaks.
I don't know. I'd really think about Coach Wash is a lot more aggressive than I am, definitely as an offensive play caller. I think about punting this thing and playing the field position game. There is no personnel changes. He's going to go for it here, and this is how he coaches. This is what he does.
Or will he? Will Connor Ayton pooch the ball?
Yeah, that's an option, too. Now, they're talking about it.
Kick it.
Yeah. It's something they're talking about now. It was a little late getting the play in here, so you got to watch the guy in the back, watch him counting.
Hasn't started yet, but he's got the arm out looking at his watch.
He's counting now.
Now he's counting now. Two, three. He's counting quickly. Four, and the Streaks are going to have to call timeout. Otherwise, they would have had a delay of game. So on fourth and 13 at the Alleman 40-yard line, the Streaks call timeout. And an opportunity to let our folks know what's coming up at halftime, Sean, and what's good at Galesburg High School.
Yeah, this halftime, I was able to get in contact with some gals there at school as teachers with the Life Skills Program. And what the Life Skill Program does at the high school is they do some odd and end jobs for the students who may not be in a position where they're going to be going out and getting a lot of great scores in school, and they're going to be getting and learning skills that will make them successful in life. And one of the things that they do as well is late February, early March, is they'll have this shooting hoops and smiling, which is deals with the Knox County Special Olympics basketball team. And any fans that want to come out and watch that and support as a fundraising event for the Special Olympics. And as always, we have Principal Houston.
Rock Island with a 13-0 lead over United Township. That's just over 3 minutes into the game. So the Rocks have already scored twice in that game. Again, Rock Island needing two wins in the final 2 weeks of the regular season to become playoff eligible.
So we're empty here. I really actually expect Connor to pooch this more than doing anything.
Yeah.
Drops back, drops the ball, and he is going to throw it. Steps up in the pocket. Now he's going to run it. 40 slips to the outside, 35. Pushed short. Out of bounds as he gets just inside the 30 to about the 29-yard line, and he'll be 2 yards short, maybe 3 yards short. It looks like they're going to mark him out right at the 30-yard line. Well, Connor almost got it.
Yeah, and that's not disastrous. You know, you're going to get to the 30-yard line. A punt into the end zone gets you out to the 20. So, you know, still Alleman has to go.
You know, also one of the things that we could say about that is the low snap. You know, he dropped
the
ball when it came to him, and that really messes up the timing of the routes and where he might be looking to go with that. So, you know, it's still nice blocking up front by the lineman, and he was able to tuck it and get there, but just a couple yards short.
Matichek under center at the 30-yard line where the Pioneers start this drive. Hand off to Sheets, slipping the initial tackle behind the line of scrimmage. Bullies his way forward across the 35, close to the 38-yard line, and a good gain on first down for the fullback, Nate Sheets, who's got 85 yards on 8 carries now, including the only touchdown of the game. Pioneers leading 7-0, 9:20 to go first half.
Yeah, it seems to be that when the Pioneers need something, he is a stalwart to go to. They've done it many times here. They've done it on third and short. They've done it on first and short, and they did it there on first and 10. They went right to him, and now it's second down and 2.
Matichek drops back into the short shotgun now. Rolling to the right on the option, tucks it in and keeps it. Gets the first down just across the 40-yard line, which is where he needed to get, up to the 41.5 for a first down.
You know, they got the first down there, but we played that very well. And one of the things that you want to see with the outside linebacker is a technique called slow play. You want to make that guy, the quarterback, kind of draw himself out and stretch that play wider and have him wait as long as possible to make a decision if he's going to tuck the ball or if he's going to pitch it. And when you do that and he slows down, our interior linebackers are able to get out to him and make a tackle. So that was only a game of about 4, so we played it really well.
Comes back under center in the 2 tight end set. Toss play to the outside, and they stretch all the way out. Max Contreras on the run to the left side, but he still is able to cut up field for a gain of 5. Up to the 4 to the 46-yard line.
Now, earlier in that same play, we had our corner duck inside, and they were able to get more yards on the perimeter. That time, we maintained our leverage. We kept contain on it, and we tucked him up sooner.
Watching Anthony Glacis from Alleman, number 71. He's leading the way on that toss sweep. He's got a big frame, and he's fleet of foot as well. He did a pretty good job leading the way.
Anthony Glancy, the tackle at 6'3", 270. Out of the shotgun, swing pass to the outside. They go right back to Contreras, who catches it, and the Streaks defense is right there waiting for him. And I don't know if they'll gain anything on that. They actually are going to give him a yard up to the 47-yard line.
The best part of that play was Chase Castile working off of a block. They gave a now, which means they're giving it to the receiver real quick. It's a step back and toss it to him. He was able to fight off the block and get out to the guy to make a stop.
Second completion out of the backfield for Sam Matichek for 15 yards on the night. Third and 5, Pioneers at their own 47-yard line.
Big chance here for the Streaks to get off the field.
3 for 4 on third downs tonight are the Pioneers. Matichek rolling left. Pressure in front of him. Gets it away. Complete on the far side of the field. and knocked out of bounds, Tim, right at the first down marker. I couldn't see if he reached the handout and got it across the first down marker, but he is right there. The referee walking to the far side of the field, looking where he stepped out of bounds, and he got the first down. Not even going to measure it.
What's interesting is they didn't spot the ball during the sideline. Nope. The guy had the spot at the out-of-bounds line on the sideline.
And had the ball at the middle
they
of the field.
They put the ball in the middle of the field based on his foot, and then they gave him the first down.
It's a different technique I haven't seen before.
Yeah, which, I mean, it's probably right. I mean, I think the guy had the first down distance, but why that close to the first down did you not spot it at the sideline?
Nose of the football sitting at the far hash mark. 7:13 to go, first half. Silver Streaks trailing 7-0. Allman with a new set of downs at the 48-yard line. The snap and the keeper by the quarterback on the far side, and he leans forward to about the 45-yard line after he's taken down at the ankles for a gain of 3.
Jake, did that ball come out at the end?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
That's just his own read right there, and there's no trap on that at all, and they're just trying to find ways. You know, the Streaks have at least knock on wood, but right now they've corralled the running ability of Sam Matichak, and again, they do a decent job there, 3-4 yard gain.
Second and 7, Pioneers. Ball sitting right at the Streaks' 45-yard line. Matichak comes up under center.
Keep.
On the rollout to the right side.
Nice play.
Crosses it. Streaks pressure in the backfield.
Come on, guys.
Jigging and jagging and getting to the outside, and a first down for the Pioneers as Josh Tim weaseled his way through the defense. There were holes there, and he found them, and he's finally knocked out of the 35-yard line for a gain of 10 and a first down.
That was played perfectly there by Demetrius Pulley. And what we had was he covered two guys. He had the quarterback. He forced the quarterback to pitch the ball, and he was fast enough to then get out to cover the pitch man as well. But as it turned out, they get the pitch man cut inside of him, and he had no interior support to come and make the tackle.
First down, Alleman at the Galesburg 35-yard line. Ball sitting at the near hash mark. Pioneers split out two wide to the left. With two running backs, a handoff to Sheets. Hit
right
at the line of scrimmage and pushed backwards. He'll pick up a yard, but Elias Giles, I think, was the guy in initially on the first hit. And he took Sheets down immediately. And they'll spot it at a gain of not quite a yard.
Yeah, we had a combo blitz. We blitzed right into that play, which is perfect. That's what you want to have. That's why you call those blitzes. And we had a stunt up front with a lineman with a twisted linebacker behind, and we blitzed right into it. So well played by the defense there.
Halfway through the second quarter, 7-0 Pioneers. Alleman on the move at the Galesburg 34. Quick swing pass to the outside. They give it right back to Tim, cutting up to the far side of the field. Stopped short of the first down marker by about a yard, down to the 26-yard line.
They're going to have to make some sort of adjustment on that trips out there, and it's just they're going to be able to throw that now screen, and we're outsized on that side of the field with those lead blockers of Alleman leading the way. And so, you know, we play it okay, but it's a 9-yard gain. And we can't just continue to give up those chunks on that. So I don't know if that's going to be an adjustment or if that's something we're willing to live with to defend something else out of that formation. It's something to be, you know, that we'll ask about maybe at halftime.
Yeah, early in the game, Chase Castillo was able to work off that block and come make the play. We were not able to do that time. I don't know if it was Chase or not, but we have to come off that block.
Handoff goes to the right side. Sheets with a first down. Got a nice hole across the right side of the line down to the 19-yard line. He needed a foot, and he got 7. Silver Streaks stopped Alleman on third down on their opening drive of the game, but not since then. Pioneers 4-for-4 on third down conversions since then, and a new set of downs inside the Galesburg 20 at the 19-yard line.
As you see that, was that Sheets
that
limped
Sheets
off the field?
It is. He's overlaying down in pain on the sideline of Alleman Pioneers sideline.
Looked like he had some sort of lower leg issue limping off.
Yeah.
That's a significant development at this point.
10 carries, 93 yards, and the Pioneers' only touchdown, leading 7-0, under 5 minutes to go second quarter. First down, Alleman at the Streaks' 19-yard line. Matichak under center. Handoff goes to the right, and the Streaks contain it, but still a gain of a couple on first down. As they went to Contreras, I think.
New fullback there,
Tim.
Tim.
It's Tim, so they've moved Tim back in to go for Sheets. Tim, obviously, starting on as one of the H-backs or wings or whatever you want to call them. So, obviously, Tim, again, you want your best runner in this offense to be at that fullback position. So, Tim, obviously, is the next guy in line. And Sheets still isn't up. He's still on the ground over on their sideline.
Second and 8, Pioneers. As they come to the line, Matichak brings them set under center with the wishbone lined up behind him. This time they do go to Contreras, running right, crosses the 15 to the 14-yard line, hanging on to the ball. Looked like the Streaks had him stacked up and were reaching in, trying to strip it out of there. He hangs on to it, picks up three, and it'll be third and five. Two-down territory for the Pioneers here, leading by a touchdown. Now 3:45 to go in this opening quarter, as they have taken 6 minutes off the clock by the time they get this snap away.
Now, this is what Alleman does. They're going to keep your offense off the field, and this is exactly how they want to do it. Now with Sheets out, you're going to look more for Matichek to do things with his legs and his arms. So we're going to go out here. We're going to split to the right, tight end left. Kind of a flex left situation here.
Two down territory on third and five.
And sweep.
Yep. Sweep to the right side, and the Streaks read it as
and
the flag
hold.
Comes down. Vaynerman with the tackle as they went to Contreras, and Vaynerman was in the backfield, I think, before Contreras even realized he was there, taken down for a loss back to the 18, and a flag down on top of it.
So you,
if
you
that
have,
is a hold, you'd probably decline this. Would give it
I'm
down.
Wondering.
Well, given field position, that's the tricky part.
That's a pretty nice spot.
Yep.
So you're going to have fourth and 10, or you're going to have third and 15.
More like fourth and eight.
Fourth and eight? Oh.
Yeah, that spot was a little better than I anticipated.
Are you sure where the ball is? It's right on the stick.
Yeah, we declined it.
It declined.
Yeah, it's going to be fourth and ten.
Signal was a block in the back. So it'll be fourth and ball sitting at the 18-yard line.
Yeah, the box hasn't moved yet.
Yep. So a loss of four. Big third down opportunity, fourth down opportunity for the Streaks defense here. Matichek with a play fake. Rolling to the left. Good pressure. Throws it downfield, and it's complete in first down territory. And Moore going for the goal line. The ball comes free, and it pops right into an Alleman player in the end zone for the touchdown. The ball got popped out right as he was breaking for the goal line. It bounced into the end zone and right into the hands of Jonathan Fernandez, who was there waiting on the bounce as it popped free, and Alleman now leads it 13 to nothing. Yeah, a fourth down conversion that goes for an 18-yard touchdown.
Just missed opportunities here. You know, that first drive there, and then, we've had two chances to try to get off the field here and just haven't been able to get it done.
So Fitch in for the extra point. The hold is down. The kick
got that.
Has the distance, and it's 14-0 Pioneers. 3:06 to go first half. Streaks now down two touchdowns. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
What does your morning sound like?
Goodbye, baby.
Is she asleep?
Yeah, finally.
Great. I picked up our favorite breakfast sandwiches from McDonald's.
Ooh.
My turn. Here's to making your morning routine a little better. Right now, mix and match two select breakfast sandwiches, like a bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, a sausage McMuffin with egg, or a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit for just $4. Breakfast at McDonald's. Single item at regular price at participating McDonald's for a limited time.
Tune in for Fighting Illini football as Illinois takes on Purdue. Coverage begins tomorrow at 1:30.
Follow the Illini all season long on WGIL.
14 plays for the Alleman Pioneers, 70 yards, 6 minutes, 31 seconds off the clock, and an 18-yard touchdown for all intents and purposes on fourth down for the Pioneers. And now the Silver Streaks have 3 minutes, 6 seconds, and one timeout to try to march it downfield and break the scoreboard and cut this lead in half before they head to the locker room. Streaks have been able to move the ball but are still coming up empty. On the receiving end of the kickoff,
cut up.
Dylan McBride at the 8-yard line returns it to the 35, gets through a tackle up to the 40-yard line, moving the pile up to the 45-yard line, and a great return by Dylan McBride of 37 yards, and the Streaks near midfield, just what they needed with a short clock here late in the second quarter.
Sean, I haven't seen anything like that. He was at the 25-yard line before any Alleman Pioneer was even in his vicinity. It's almost like they broke down at the 30-yard line and just kind of waited for him to come.
You know, we received that on our right side of the field as we were moving forward, and we had, it looked like to me, a left return setup. So he had to run all the way across the field, and it took forever to develop. Yeah, well, we'll take it.
Absolutely.
First and 10 from our own 45.
Yep.
2-1 Brewers over the Dodgers, middle of the fourth inning in the first game of the National League Championship Series as the Brewers look to win their 12th in a row. Out of the shotgun, Aiton with a snap to his right, rolling to the right, looking for Kobe, but instead has a man open right at the first down marker. It's caught and
Justice
spun
Gatson
down there at the 45 to the 44-yard line.
And the Streaks have plenty of time to get this done. They do have just one timeout left. They have used two, but plenty of time to get this done, and no hurry.
Pass complete to Justice Gatson. 80 yards passing for Connor Ayton now. Second reception for Gatson of 17 yards now. At the Alleman 44-yard line, Streaks break huddle. 2:40 and counting here in the first half, trailing 14 to nothing. Ayton again in the gun with Kobe lined up to his right. Two wideouts to the right, one to the left. Ayton looking over the field. More good protection. Throws it into the flat, complete to DeJuan Pulley, and he's met hard right as the catch is made at the 43, maybe the 42-yard line.
And that's Tim, as we've been calling his name now on offense, and he was just kind of waiting for that to happen. He just swallowed him right up, giving up a lot of weight on that. And Tim did a great job making a form tackle and head on the right side. That was textbook right there.
Elmwood Brimfield now with a 14-8 lead over Knoxville in the third quarter. Second and nine, Silver Streaks. Ayton rolling to the right, throwing it downfield, and overthrows Castile, and it's picked off by Alleman inside the 25-yard line, taken down in the secondary, and finally the Streaks wrap up. I think that was Killian Ahern.
Ahern, yeah.
In the backfield. And the Pioneers have it after Connor Ayton throws his seventh interception of the season. And now the Pioneers have it with a minute 44 to go at their own 33-yard line.
Streaks need to make sure they avoid disaster here. You know, with a minute 44, keep them out. We do get the ball back first, after the break. So, you know, but 14 is one thing, 21 is another.
Uh-huh.
So we got to watch for a big play here on first down, but we got to keep them out of the end zone, obviously.
And Sheets is back on the field for the Pioneers. Matichek will line up in the gun. Two wideouts to the right, one to the left with Sheets
Speedo
behind him. On the option, running to the right side, Matichek keeps it. Flags come down as he breaks into the secondary and spun out of bounds by Nico Delegiannis right at the 50-yard line. Got to believe this one's coming back given the location of the penalty flags back in the backfield.
You know, we were calling for that. And when you coach you guys long enough and you know how certain players will play, and in this case here is, I believe it was Chase Castile in the perimeter, that his job is to try to make the quarterback pitch the ball. Well, he was nowhere to be seen. And then, you know, what you say is, well, why is he nowhere to be seen? And you look over, and there's a guy's got a fistful of jersey. You all of a sudden understand why he's not there. So that was an easy call by the side judge here on that.
Holding penalty of 10 yards with the flag down back at the 31-yard line. We'll take it back to the 21. And it'll be first and 22 for the Pioneers.
So at this point, you get that big penalty. You wonder what they're going to do offensively. Are they going to sit on it now, just give the dive? But they come out in the gun here, and it looks like they're still going to be aggressive.
Yeah, they're going to attack here, see if they can expose something. Again, they got trips over there.
And flag right as the snap is made.
False
and
start.
A false start will back him up five more yards.
I still don't like the way, you know, Sean, they
trips.
Go that wide
yeah.
trips, man. I still don't like, you know, what we're doing defensively, just covering it with our two guys. I know we've got the safety over the top, but he's 11 yards deep, and they just keep throwing those now screens, and you're going to give up 8 or 9 right away. You know, hopefully our guys can fight through blocks out there, and, you know, it's Castile and Pettis out there, and they're physical guys, but it's just that I think they're at a disadvantage right away.
Minute 37 to go. This will back it up to first and 27 now for the Pioneers, back at their own 16-yard line. They'll keep it packed in a little more tight here on this formation. One wide out to each side. And rolling right, Matichek bounces to the outside. Streaks contain him as he crosses the 20 to the 21 for a short gain of 5. And the clock will roll under a minute and a half to go. And Alleman not calling a timeout. So unless they can break off a big play, they seem content to just play conservatively here with a two-touchdown lead.
So got to be careful when you have
when
you have number 9 on that side. You know, he can break one at any time. And Sheets,
so can
Sheets. Sheets can get it done too. So, you know, we're not out of the woods yet, but it does look like Alleman's going to be content staying on the ground here.
And not in any hurry to break huddle either.
No.
Like we said, unless they can break off a big play, They're going to send three wideouts to the left again.
Here's the trips again.
And they're counting on it.
And lining up in the backfield. They go left with Matichek, cuts back up to the middle of the field.
He strips it, go!
Down and over! Go, Nico Deligiannis up the near sideline. The officials are blowing it dead.
That's a bad call.
They're blowing it dead. The referee is waving his arms back at the 20-yard line.
Wrong.
And this has, the Streaks coaching staff is irate. And the referee is waving down to the Streaks sideline, telling them to calm down. Nico Deligiannis was on the receiving end of picking up that ball, breaking down the near sideline, was going to take it all the way. So not only will the Streaks be denied a touchdown for the second time, but they're not even going to have the ball here. In worst-case scenario,
like
they should have the ball.
The white hat, looks like the white hat here came over to apologize to coach.
They are.
It seems like
they're telling
it was
them they're sorry and there's nothing you can
whistle.
Do.
If it's an inadvertent whistle, it's a replay.
Yep. There's nothing you can do.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Wait, so what's going on here?
Well, the Streaks are celebrating now. The referee came out, and the Streaks were out there on the field, and he headed out that direction,
so
and the Streaks started applauding.
They're giving him the football, but they're giving him the football, but not the yardage.
So Galesburg will have it at the 30-yard line with 36.9 seconds to go in the first half, trailing by two touchdowns.
It's still wrong.
It's a huge mistake. It's a huge mistake, and we're fighting everything here. You know, and the only way this makes up is the Streaks somehow do something miraculous and put it in the end zone. But I tell you what, the guy, you know, I feel for him. He knows he screwed up. He said he's sorry. His head's hanging over here on the sideline. But, you know, being a high school official is not easy, gentlemen, but it doesn't make it right.
So first down Silver Streaks, they do benefit by at least getting the ball. And now the officials are coming over. So they had to go over and explain the situation to the Alleman sideline. Make sure they understood what was going on. And now we're going to play some football here with the Streaks having it at the 30-yard line of the Pioneers. Trying to turn what should have been a fumble recovery and a touchdown into at least a positive possession. Ayton under pressure in the backfield. Slips out of the pocket. Now trying to sidestep defenders inside the 30 and tackle to the 27-yard line. It's going to be a late hit. And the clock stops with 25 seconds to go. And the Streaks are going to have penalty yardage from the Pioneers added on here as Ayton got piled upon at the end. So personal foul will give the Streak 15 yards at the 27-yard line. So actually it'll probably be more like 14 yards.
We are doing what we need to do. You know, keep hammering away and let Alleman continue to do. This is not typical Alleman Pioneer football. How many penalties have they had, Brad?
That is their sixth.
Six penalties.
And I didn't count the one that went out of bounds on the kickoff, which that would have been another one too.
Yeah. You know, and this is not typical. And we have to capitalize on these opportunities here. 25 seconds to go. First down and the 14-yard line going in?
14-yard line, yep.
A lot of adversity these boys have had to overcome, especially that last one here, and hopefully they can get it done. A little lesson be learned.
Had a touchdown called back earlier on a holding penalty against the Streaks. Now first down at the Alleman 14 with 24 seconds to go. Pressure on Ayton. Steps up in the pocket. In the grasp, another flag down on the far side of the field as Ayton is tackled at the 20-yard line, stopping the clock with 16.9 seconds to go. And let's see what the referee calls here. A little discussion going on. Flag down on the far side of the field over on the Alleman side at the 13. A hold against the Silver Streaks.
That guy's called a lot of holds.
Sure has.
That guy on that sideline.
That's the third one against the Silver Streaks.
That's the same guy on the far sideline.
That guy's called a few.
Alleman decline it. They did. So the play stands because it's a loss.
With the clock as it is and no timeouts, why would they? Okay.
Streaks do have one timeout, don't they? So from the 20-yard line, second and 15. Ayton in the empty backfield. Looking across the near side of the field, and it's batted away. Coming up from the backside, Dewan Pulley at the 1-yard line. And Alleman read it perfectly and came up and just batted it down. I think that was Sheets who got it. And the clock stops with 8.8 seconds to go. Third and 15, Silver Streaks.
Jake, did you see Vaynerman on the wheel?
Yeah. I saw it as soon as you called it. You know, and it's hard to see everything, you know, as the quarterback, and he's got his read progressions that he's going through. But you'd think the wheel would be number one with this situation at this distance. Maybe something he's looking at.
And he took another shot at the end zone, which is what you need to do with 13 seconds and the clock running.
So third and 20, Silver Streaks. Ayton back to pass again. Looking left, pressure comes in from the right side. He didn't see it coming, and he's tackled for loss back at the 25-yard line with 1.3 seconds to go. And
timeout.
He's got it.
We got our last
Streaks
timeout.
Streaks use their final timeout here, I saw the official waving his arms. I was waiting to see. I never did see him make the timeout call, but now the referee makes it. So 1.3 seconds to go on fourth down for the Silver Streaks back at the 25-yard line to go for it, trailing by two touchdowns prior to halftime.
You know, that play with a turnover where we should have gotten a touchdown, I have to say that there's 2 weeks in a row, consecutive weeks, that we've seen a play that usually don't see in high school football. Last week at up there at East Moline, we saw the touchdown play, which was a fumbled back in the end zone. A quarterback picks it up, throws the ball, which we didn't know on the air at the time. I found out talking with players after the game that quarterback threw it and it hit the official in the head, ricocheted off to Ennis in the end zone. One of the most
Jake saw
players.
The deflection. We just didn't know who it deflected off.
And then we have a strange play here with an inadvertent whistle, but we get the ball, but we don't get the yardage, which is strange as well. So a couple of firsts for me anyway. Jake, have you ever seen anything like that?
No, there's a couple different things here. I'm noticing right now James Hayden's out on the field. This will be a 42-yarder, gentlemen, and that looks like that looks like to be the play. And, you know, I think that's probably the best way to go here. Try to get some points. We know he's got the leg for it. 42 yards would be, I'm sure, a career long for him in a ball game. And this would be exciting to see, too.
And great positioning. The ball's in the center of the field.
Yep.
With 1.3 seconds to go. This will be the last play of the first half with the Streaks trailing by two touchdowns. The snap is good. The hold is good. The distance is there.
Left.
And he just missed it to the left. So Hayden missed a short one earlier. He misses a long one here. And the Streaks still without any points heading to the locker room. They've had two touchdowns called back. One on a penalty on a pass play. One on the inadvertent whistle, as the guys were just talking about. And two missed field goals. And it all results in no first half points. And a 14-0 deficit to the Pioneers at halftime. When we come back, what's good at Galesburg High School? As Sean will talk about the program again with folks on that side of the building, among them Gina Van Winkle and, of course, Galesburg High School Principal Jeff Houston. When we come back here, we'll catch up with the coaching staff. Be interested to hear their thoughts after the Streaks trail at the half 14-0. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
I hate my bathroom, but it's the only one in the house, so if we have it remodeled, where are we supposed to go?
If you only have one bathroom in the house, being without it for long is not an option, which is why a lot of folks put off that much-needed remodel. But a custom-fitted acrylic bath system from Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating can be done in a matter of days. You can pick a variety of colors and styles, and it won't chip, crack, stain, or fade. Plus, no more grout. I'm Neil Thomas. Get your beautiful new bathroom at 342.
If you've heard me say it once, you've heard me say it a thousand times. Come get your keys. Come get your keys. Come get your keys.
Come get your keys.
And I'll keep saying it. Till you drive off the lot at the all-new Galesburg Toyota in the vehicle of your dreams.
He's got your keys.
And you don't even have to ask if they're the lowest prices in the north, south, east, and west, because that's how we do. But what if I don't have the keys to the vehicle you have your heart set on?
James lost your keys.
Well, I'll find them. If you don't see it on our lot, tell me what you want, and I'll get it here. Because when Monk, James Monk, says come get your keys, he means come get your keys.
The all-new Galesburg Toyota on Facebook and at Galesburg Toyota. Toyota.com.
You know how sometimes I try to save money and get burned?
Here we go.
I went to a low-cost eye care place and got an exam and some cheap glasses, but I started getting headaches and I felt like I couldn't see anything.
Shocker.
So I go to Kehoe Eye Care, like I should have to begin with, and turns out my prescription was completely wrong. And I have an eye health condition that the other place totally missed.
Lesson learned, sister.
Don't learn the hard way. Get the best possible eye health and vision care with the latest technology, available only at Kehoe Eye Care.
At Kehoe Eye Care, we care for people, not just eyes.
What does your morning sound like?
Goodbye, baby.
Is she asleep?
Yeah, finally.
Great. I picked up our favorite breakfast sandwiches from McDonald's.
Ooh. Oh.
My turn. Here's to making your morning routine a little better. Right now, mix and match two select breakfast sandwiches, like a bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, a sausage McMuffin with egg, or a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit for just $4. Breakfast at McDonald's. Single item at regular price at participating McDonald's for a limited time.
The official WGIL forecast is calling for a partly cloudy skies tonight. Patchy frost overnight, a low near 35. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with patchy frost in the morning, a high of 52. And tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low near 39. For your Sunday, clouds with showers likely in the afternoon and a high of 50 degrees. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it's 39 degrees at WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS Halftime Report on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Welcome to the Galesburg Rock On All-In Halftime Show. I'm Sean Hickey with this week's segment of What's Good at GHS. As always, I have Principal Houston, but this week's spotlight is on a life skills program at GHS. With us tonight, we have GHS teachers Gina Van Winkle and Tracy Johnson. Welcome to the show. If you could, tell our listeners a little bit about what the life skills program is and its value to the high school.
Our life skills program focuses on practical and functional living skills to help students become as independent as possible in their future roles within the community, their workplace, and their homes. We teach academics such as functional reading and math, as well as a multitude of other subjects, such as daily living skills, self-care, pre-vocational skills, and community-based instruction. I feel that it's important for the staff and the students to understand that we do what we do in our program, and that students are a big asset to the school and the community in their own way as we teach real-world applications.
Okay, so your program itself, as you're both working here, who helps out with the programs, and what role does co-teaching play within the program?
Gina and I have been co-teaching together for the past 5 years. She was my mentor when I began teaching at Galesburg High School, and now I consider her one of my closest friends. Although we each have our own caseload to manage, we co-teach all the students and life skills together. We plan all areas of the program together. We've worked closely with other teachers in the building, such as Mrs. Bickle and Mrs. Barrett, whose classes have assisted our students in preparing meals. One of our biggest accomplishments has been working with the Culinary Arts Program to prepare a Thanksgiving feast. It was quite a task, but our students learned valuable life skills that we hope we can continue to build on to help them become successful in their adult lives. The entire GHS and GHS North population contribute to the recycling program that is run by our life skills students. Without the staff and students, we wouldn't be able to maintain this program, which teaches all of our students how they can contribute to the community and towards improving our environment. It also teaches our students valuable vocational skills that they will use in the workforce someday. We have met with the principal of GHS North, Mr. Spring, and we're working towards setting up a food pantry that the life skills students will be responsible for running for students in need at Galesburg High School. Galesburg High School North has been running a food pantry for their students for a few years now, and we're excited about the opportunity to partner with Mr. Spring and his staff to do the same for all students in high school.
That's outstanding. Hopefully our listeners are getting a lot out of this to know what the program does within the school itself. So from the professional side, what are the keys to a successful life skills program?
From my perspective, I would say to run a successful program takes planning, effort, communication, and flexibility between the both of us. I love the phrase, it takes a village to raise a child. Without the paraprofessionals in our program and many other people who contribute, such as teachers, administrators, custodial staff, kitchen staff, and even several community members, our program would not have continued to thrive over these years. I'm proud to say I work at GHS and I'm part of the Galesburg community. We have so many wonderfully talented individuals among us, each who bring a new perspective on helping us reach our goals. To be successful in anything, we do have to set goals. Tracy and I set goals for students and for ourselves. We may not always reach them, but we put forth the effort and we adjust the goals when needed. We reflect on our successes and on what hasn't been successful yet, and then we adjust our plans and we start again. We do that almost daily.
Okay, sounds good. With all the other tasks that you do around the school, one of the biggest events we have coming up this winter will be the Shooting Hoops and Smiling basketball game. As someone who's played in the past 2 years as a faculty member, I've been a part of something outstanding, and it's very rewarding to watch and see the kids grow and what they get out of it. Please, if you could, tell our listeners about the magic of that event.
Sure. The Shooting Hoops and Smiling event is one of my favorite and the biggest fundraisers for the Knox County Special Athletes in the Life Skills Program. It's a basketball game featuring the Knox County Special Athlete players versus our Galesburg High School staff. We started it as a way to showcase our athlete skills. It's such a heartwarming experience to watch the staff and the students interact during the game. The entire community is invited to the event. We sell t-shirts prior to the game, our pep band plays before the game starts, and the cheerleaders are there to cheer on our team. The student council helps to organize the halftime events, and it's really just a fun way and a fun night for everyone to be involved. We have a bake sale and a silent auction, as well as free will donations that can be made at the door. This event has allowed our athletes to get new equipment for track and basketball, new uniforms for bowling, have banquets, and it has been used to help cover traveling expenses for athletes to out-of-town competitions. We also use some of the money to purchase items for the Life Skills classroom. This fundraiser, along with the money from our recycling program, helps keep the Life Skills program operating. We are able to take our students on community-based instructional outings where they learn to safely travel in the community, shop within a budget, order off a menu at a variety of restaurants, and several other life skills. We are also able to purchase supplies for our weekly cooking lessons and any other additional items needed within our program. This event wouldn't be possible without the remarkable GHS staff and students volunteering their time and the support of many different businesses in the Galesburg community. We're looking forward to hosting the third annual Shootin' Hoops and Smilin' event again this spring.
Again, that was GHS teachers Gina Van Winkle and Tracy Johnson discussing life skills program at GHS. Ladies, thank you for your time. Now let's talk with Principal Jeff Houston. Mr. Houston, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me again this week, Sean.
Mr. Houston, what exciting events would you like to share with us from the past week?
Well, last week, just to celebrate a few things, the band competed at Metamore and took a Grand Champion's first place. That's the first time that's happened in the last 10 years. We also are going to send two student athletes to the golf state tournament. Kirsten Osborne will be heading, I think, to Decatur, and Lucas Watson will be playing over in Bloomington. And we wish them good luck. And then on Wednesday, we had the PSAT. That's just a great primer for the SAT and even the ACT. But it's just kind of a trial run for students. The good thing about that test is students are identified as National Merit Scholars and can earn scholarships through that. One of the neat things I'm seeing taking place in the mornings is Mr. Hillier's civics class is going out and learning how to use flag etiquette in raising and lowering the flag. It's kind of a neat little thing I'm watching the students do in the morning. And our peer tutoring program continues to grow, and we actually set a high mark on students attending our homework hub after school, which is really great to see. We have teachers down there that are working hard with students to help them move forward in their academic progress. We have a new equipment down in the CNC lab. We've hooked up our plasma cutter, and the students are experimenting with that and learning how to use the plasma cutter. And then we've had some mandated lockdown drills and fire drills this week that took place in the hallways.
So even though it was a shorter week, four-day week without having school on Monday, we could see that we've been very busy this past week. So what do we have coming up next week that the students could look forward to?
Well, on Monday night, I encourage everybody to come out and watch our choir in the auditorium at 7 o'clock on Monday night. And on Tuesday night, our boys are getting ready to head to the soccer regional NLP, and I believe they'll be taking on the Geneseo Maple Leafs. We'll be looking forward to some of the work we'll be doing with our school improvement team. We're going to do that on Wednesday, and then students are excited about finals, I'm sure, coming up next week as well.
I'm sure that's the top of their list of things to be excited about for the upcoming week. Okay, that's a wrap for this week's halftime show regarding what's good at GHS. Again, thanks to GHS teachers at the Skills Placement Program, as well as Principal Houston for their time. Coming up next, we'll have halftime stats and second half action against the Rock Island Almond Pioneers on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Stay connected to what's happening in Galesburg. 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg's local news.
Soccer is coming to Abingdon Avon High School. After five attempts from local coaches, players, and community members, the A-Town School Board approved a co-ed program at the high school at their meeting Wednesday. Local club coach Ken Litchfield says that he presented the board with a roster of 21 interested students who aren't playing any other fall sports, and he expects the first year for that to be around the number of players they have. Board President Anthony Brooks was concerned that things like schedules and transportation hadn't been fully worked out, but he says the board fully supports the team. Vice President Mike Pence says Republican U.S. Representative Rodney Davis has emerged as a voice for conservative values in Congress and is urging his supporters to get out the vote in the midterm elections. Pence campaigned for Davis today at a fundraising event in Springfield. Davis's seat is one Democrats are targeting as they try to regain control of the House. The Taylorville Republican faces a challenge from Democrat Betsy Dirksen-Londergan of Springfield. I'm Cameron Lyne. Top stories at home, top stories from around the world. This is 93.7 FM and 1400 AM. WGIL, Galesburg's News.
I'm Rich Dennison. American pastor Andrew Brunson, freed from custody in Turkey and now undergoing a medical checkup in Germany. Earlier today, he was convicted on terrorism charges by a Turkish court and sentenced to time served. President Trump discussing Brunson at a campaign rally in Ohio.
He'll be landing on Saturday, most likely Saturday in D.C.
Turkey rejecting the White House claim that U.S. pressure led to his release. President Trump says he hasn't yet spoken to Saudi King Salman about missing Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Officials in Turkey say they have evidence Khashoggi was killed inside the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. Analysts say Hurricane Michael caused billions of dollars in damage. Dawn Vickers of Mexico Beach, Florida, witnessed the loss of her home.
And I thought that trees were going by, and I realized it was our house.
That storm is now blamed on at least 13 deaths in five states. This is Fox News.
Your wife is all about improving your home sweet home. Problem is, you already have a day job. Enter Courtright Construction of Oneida. These guys can do it all, from a minor remodel to a complete build. See their work at CourtrightConstruction.com. The right choice for your next project.
Galesburg Nissan is home with a lifetime warranty. No gimmicks, no deductible, and no expensive service requirements. Galesburg Nissan's lifetime warranty is just that. Unlimited time and unlimited miles. Plus, you get a free loaner car for life if your car needs to be in the shop. And every fifth oil change is free. Yes, for life. We just won our third consecutive Nissan Award of Excellence, recognizing large sales volume and superior customer satisfaction. We want to be your dealer for life, and we'll strive to prove it every day. Galesburg Nissan, home of the lifetime warranty.
Did you know you can save about 50% on your air filters by having them cleaned rather than replaced? And Filter Service Center, now part of Mid-State Manufacturing, will even pick them up and deliver them back to you. Your filter's good as new. Filter Service Center at Mid-State Manufacturing.
Delivered your email inbox every morning. The WGIL Morning Brief with local news headlines, sports, and weather. And it's free. Subscribe now at WGIL.com.
Halftime here at Van Dyke Field at F&M Bank Stadium. Silver Streaks trailing Rock Island Alaman 14-0. Let's take a look at some quick halftime statistics brought to you by Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Connor Ayton, first half, 8 for 14 passing with one interception. He's thrown for 81 yards to, my fingers are too cold, I can't move my paper, four different receivers. Dewan Pulley, three catches, 27 yards. Kobe Ramirez has two receptions for 24 yards. Chase Castile, a 13-yard catch. And Justice Gatson, two catches for 17 yards. Let's go down to the sideline. Our halftime coaches interview, also brought to you by Breedlove's in Kewaunee. Jake Miller is with Jay Barshinger, and we speculated this might be quite a discussion given how that first half ended with the Silver Streaks stripping the ball out, Nico Delagiannis returning it for what should have been a touchdown, but the play called dead. And Jake's getting the word here from Jay. And you ready to go? All right,
go for it. Yeah, we're ready to go.
All right.
Yeah, obviously the talk needs to go to that, the strip. Was it an inadvertent whistle that I'm assuming that was called, and we got the football back. So can you just give me your take on what you saw there, Coach?
Yeah, it was an inadvertent whistle. We stripped the ball and scored a touchdown, and the official just blew the whistle dead. I mean, it happens. You just got to live with it. He stood up and said that, and we got the ball back and just weren't able to convert.
Yeah, so at this point, I mean, the message has got to be so many things. Just missed opportunities, things gone wrong, really nothing. You get a touchdown called back because of another penalty. You get that one back. You get the missed opportunity down there at the other end, and we're still only down 14-0. Has that got to be the point that our guys know that their better football is ahead of them, and they can get back in this ball game?
Absolutely. We left two scores on the field, and we need to come back and get those and get a stop on defense. We had a couple big plays, but for the most part, we're just kind of a slow death. We just got to do a better job up front and get some tackles.
Okay, I appreciate your time. Thanks, Coach.
Thanks to Jay Barshinger joining us here at halftime with the Silver Streaks trailing 14-0. They will have the ball to begin the third quarter. Some other statistics. Silver Streaks only 32 yards on the ground. Kobe Ramirez has carried it five times for just 24 yards. And Connor Ayton has run it six times for just 8 yards, including several tackles for loss. For the Pioneers, 23 plays on the ground for 149 yards and a touchdown. Nate Sheets leading the way. 10 carries, 93 yards, and a touchdown. His biggest run of the night was for 46 yards during the first Alaman scoring drive. Sam Matichuk, the quarterback, 6 carries for 26 yards. Josh Timm, 4 rushes for 22 yards. And Max Contreras has carried it 3 times for 8. Matichuk out of the backfield threw incomplete for his first 2 pass attempts of the game. but then completed his last five for 46 yards and a touchdown. That one going to Contreras also, two receptions, 19 yards. Tim has three catches for 27 yards. Alleman penalized eight times for 73 yards. Silver Streaks penalized, again, fingers too numb to move the paper, three times for 25 yards. Our halftime scoreboard, as we're getting close to kicking off the second half, our halftime scoreboard brought to you by Courtright Construction in Oneida, the right choice for your next project. Darrell Brock with a 36-yard touchdown run just before halftime. Quincy leading Alleman 21-14. Orion with a big rout, 57-0 over Bureau Valley. Mid-County becomes playoff eligible. The Cougars with a 27 win over Stark County in the Lincoln Trail. Also Princeville knocking off Mercer County 35-7. And Rock Island up on United Township 35-0 as that game approaches halftime. Jake, you had a score on Granite City. They were getting trounced pretty early against Alton. Any updates there?
Yeah, he hasn't sent me any updates on there. It didn't look I saw one earlier that I think it was at 28-7 at one point, and then I haven't seen much. I don't follow enough guys on Twitter to down that far to get any scores. So my contact down there has kind of left me hanging. So
that contact being former Silver Streak right. coach Eric Smith, who is the head boys basketball coach for the Redbirds, and we've crossed his path several times over the years. Chase Castile takes the squib kick on the ground, and the Streaks will have it at the 35. I don't want to overlook Kirsten Osborne,
right?
And because we just ran through football scores, but that is absolutely worth updating too. And Jake, I know you had some
what a terrible day to play golf. You know,
no doubt.
I mean, I would do it, but you know, just what a terrible day to play golf. And the girl's really solid. She unfortunately bogeyed the last three holes. But still, she shot 79 today. They have to make the cut in girls golf to make it to Saturday. She did that. She made the cut, which means she's in the top 24.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic. Scores. So she will be playing tomorrow. Hopefully a better day for her.
Out of the shotgun. Ayton hands off to Kobe. Strung to the outside. He spins.
Nice spin.
And up to the 39-yard line. Gains two extra yards on that spin move. And a gain of four, close to five on first down. Opening up the second half with the Streaks trailing 14-0.
Good offensive play there to get going. And, you know, Coach Barshinger, we talked about the message. As I'm looking at these guys and watching them, they're pretty upbeat down here. Nothing went right in terms of the breaks of a game in the first half. And you know, you hope that Murphy's Law catches up and the law of averages get to us where hopefully we get a couple in this half.
Now the Streaks shift out of the eye with Castile coming up left and tight end. And Vaynerman dropping back into the fullback as
there
the toss
go.
Play
go.
Goes to Kobe to
Come
the 40, 45-yard line
Good
when
play.
The defense catches
Good.
Up to him. And Tim bumps him out of bounds at the 48-yard line, a pickup of nine on to bring up first down for the Silver Streaks. And Kobe, in two plays, coming out of the locker room, picks up 13 yards. He had just 24 on the ground in the first half.
Yeah, and you looked at the halftime stats there, and coming in this game, people would say, hey, you got to watch out for Alleman's Matichek at quarterback as being the big run guy.
Right.
And for Galesburg, you got to watch out for Ramirez. And,
yep.
and Matichek had 26 at halftime, and Ramirez had 24 yards at halftime collectively we have there. So, you know, not the type of game that most fans would think of here, but certainly coming out of the gates, Kobe's gotten two carries and positive yards.
Kobe was 646 yards on the ground coming into the season as the Streaks get whistled for a false start. Taking him back first and 15. Yeah, we're talking about statistics. There's one other one I wanted to throw in from that Quincy game. Read where Quincy has punted the ball only twice all season. And they punted twice back-to-back possessions against that Moline defense.
That's a good defense.
Well, it's certainly the best defense they play. Even in Quincy's
yeah.
only loss to Alton, they didn't punt the ball. That was a shootout. So this is absolutely the best defense they've faced all year.
And again, Blue Devils leading 21-14 over Moline at halftime. The winner of that game wins the conference. Out of the shotgun, Ayton now tosses it on the option to Kobe to the outside. Slips a tackle behind the line of scrimmage and knocked out of bounds on the far side back at the original line of scrimmage. No, they're going to say he was out of the 45 apparently. So Kobe's going to end up picking up only two on that play.
Yeah, lost yards. You know, when you run the speed option out of the shotgun, it's different than running it off the line of scrimmage as you do need to make up that 6 yards of difference. You got the quarterback back at four, and he's pitching it another 3 yards back, and that's what happened. Tim did a great job there for Alleman running the alley He didn't make the tackle on Kobe, but he forced him out of bounds.
Yeah, they really strung that out well. If he could have gotten the edge, you'd see a lot more positive yards in that play. But they did a nice job there of stringing things out.
Strikes have run three plays from scrimmage, and only 21 seconds have gone off the clock here in this second half. Trailing 14-0. Back to pass, Aiden, looking left, throws it that direction, and through the hands of DeJuan Pulley, thrown a little bit high, but a catchable ball at the 50-yard line. And there was a little bit of room to run for him had he been able to bring that in. Instead, it's going to bring up 3rd and 13.
That's just how important a 5-yard penalty. Oh, another flag.
Oh, there is.
Same guy on the side.
Oh, boy. Is Mike Washabon, you're somewhat close, Jake, but not super close.
Yeah, he's
the referee was looking at Mike. I've got to believe that Coach Wash has got to be saying something about that.
Yeah, and the comments that he's making is, first of all, that's not really a line judge's call. And Sean alluded to that earlier, especially on a pass play where he should be looking down somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, coaches are coached up on the mechanics of who's supposed to be covering what, and that's not a call, and that's what they're saying down here. Plus, Coach Washbaugh mentioned, he said, we've had one holding penalty all year, and we've had three tonight. So, you know, that's something to look at, too. And he's called the same guy, 65. He's called the same guy on the hold three times.
Out of the shotgun now on 2nd and 22. Aiton flushed out of the pocket. On the right side, throwing to the 40-yard line and thrown out in front of DeJuan Pulley on the far side of the field, out of his reach, incomplete, and now it will bring up 3rd and 23. Knoxville, a final. What a win over Elmwood Brimfield, 16-14.
It's a big win.
Elmwood Brimfield's now lost two in a row. They lost to Farmington last week and lost to the Blue Bullets this week. Both teams now 6-2, so congratulations to Toby Vallis. He's not there anymore. He's at Farmington.
He's at Farmington.
But congratulations to the Blue Bullets, as they have really got it going, playing very well here.
Counting.
After struggling early. 3rd and 23, streaks out of the shotgun. Aiton throws it to the far side, coming back for it. Pulley upfield to the 40. Steps past the tackle and now finally brought down at the 45, about the 46-yard line. DeJuan Pulley has become the prime target for the Silver Streaks here tonight. And he gets 11 yards back, but it'll bring up 4th down.
Who is slow getting up there, Jake, for the Pioneers? Did you see?
28.
Okay.
Contreras. Yes, Contreras. So another running back for Alleman. Got a little gimpy. He's going to get subbed out. I think he's fine, though.
Silver Streaks in punt formation. Snap to Hayden back. Gets it away at the 36-yard line. High kick. Coverage gets downfield. Alleman backs away from it. Takes 2-3. Silver Streak bounces and then rolls down to the 15-yard line where Galesburg will down it. It was a long minute and 24 that went off the clock. 10:36 to go in the third quarter. All the whistles, all the stoppages. Plays run out of bounds.
More holding calls from the side judge.
Yep. Like I said, a lot of whistles. So first down, Pioneers at their own 15-yard line, leading 14-0.
Both side judges being fairly unfriendly to the Streaks so far this game.
Streaks have had a passing touchdown called back on a holding penalty. An inadvertent whistle negated a Nico Delegana strip that he ran back for what should have been a touchdown. Streaks have missed two field goals, one on that drive. Granted, 42 yards would have been an impressive one for any high school player. It's been a frustrating night, and now Alleman with the ball in a 14-0 lead, 2nd and 4 from the 21-yard line. Maticek, the quarterback, patient at the line of scrimmage, now comes up under center. Man in motion gets the toss play, running to the right side, now cutting it upfield. Tim,
ground.
Ball
still
stripped
there.
Free, scramble
still
for
around.
It,
Makes
back
it.
At the 22, 21-yard line,
not
and Galesburg
right.
Has it. Streaks recover it. Ball stripped out from Tim, and Galesburg recovers it, and the Streaks are in business.
Looks like Delegana's came up with that again.
Nico Delegana's another one.
Off the turf.
Well, I think we certainly have our first strong candidate for Dave's Autobody Crunch Time Player of the Game.
Yeah, and he should have been earlier.
No question.
That would have been a bigger one. But, yeah, this hopefully now turns into points for the streaks, and then we can definitely make a big case for that.
So second fumble of the game for the Pioneers. Both times in their end of the field, streaks have it now at the Alleman 22-yard line after the Pioneers have the ball. Only 39 seconds. 9:51 to go, third quarter. Streaks down two touchdowns. Hand off Kobe, trying to get to the outside, but he's kept to the inside. Hit hard a couple of times, bounced inside the 20, down to about the 18-yard line. Kobe held on to it and picked up four. That was a hard 4 yards.
Yeah, there we see that outside zone play again, but it's run to the boundary, so there's a little more, a few more Alleman bodies in there. He gets stacked up at the edge, but he makes a nice cut back and gains, you know, gets 4 or 5 out of it.
Kobe, 5 carries, 24 yards in the first half. Already 4 carries, 19 yards in the second half. 43 for the game. Second and 6 streaks at the Alleman 18-yard line.
We're staying big with our formation, 2 tight ends.
Looking to cut the deficit in half. Mason Valley lines up wide to the right as an extra tight end. The streaks run that direction. Now Kobe with a cutback up the middle inside the 15. Brought down short of the 10-yard line, down to about the 11. If that's
Should
where he's brought
down.
Down, that would be a first down.
Yes, indeed.
And the streaks move the chains, and they can get another one as they inch closer to the goal line here. Nose of the football just short of the 11. Well, what could be doesn't really matter. Streaks thinking right. 3-game winning streak here at the end of the season. It's not what they could have had and certainly should have had in the first half. It's about coming out here and taking care of business. They've done that defensively, giving the offense a chance here. First down now at the just outside the 11-yard line.
Counting.
Long time to go in the game. 8:40 to play, third
He's
quarter.
Counting fast.
And now the Streaks are going to have to call a timeout. He does count fast, and I noticed that earlier.
Yeah.
He being the back judge who's in charge of the play clock. And now Mike Washabaugh, as he heads out to the sideline, heads right to the officials before he heads to his players. Don't forget Fighting Illini football tomorrow here on WGIL. Illinois taking on Purdue. We'll have it at a 1:30 start here on WGIL. Still a long time to go in this one, 8:34 to play. Still a lot of discussion with the officials, and now Coach Wash heads into the huddle. Could you hear any of that, Jake?
Yeah, there. I don't know the discussion is how fast he's either starting the clock. They're not talking about how fast he's actually counting the seconds off.
Just the play clock itself.
Yeah, I think they're starting and just wondering how fast he is at starting the clock. Now, I thought that we sent the play in late, too, and wasn't surprised that he was counting so early in our set. But I don't know. There was some discussion. They've talked about it. All these officials now, Sean, have the earpieces and the microphones that they wear. They can talk to each other without having to stand next to each other.
All right, ready to run the play. First down streaks at the Alleman 11. After Galesburg had to use its first time out of the second half, Ayton comes up under center. Toss play to Kobe. Trying to string his way to the outside. Cuts up
nice
field
cut.
Inside the 10.
Getting
inside
there.
The 5. Battles for the goal line.
There we go.
Get your hands up. Come on, man.
There's the call there from the official on the far side. Touchdown, Silver Streaks. Kobe Ramirez from 11 yards out after the forced fumble by Nico Delegiannis. And the Streaks are on the board, down 14-6.
And the Streaks here will line up in a different formation. I don't see, you know, we do see Alleman covering both sides here, and let's see what they're going to do.
We have them outnumbered to the right.
On the right, yeah.
Bring them in.
Coach Wash puts up the one finger.
Now they'll go ahead and, yep.
Indubitably means the traditional extra point will be kicked.
So the Streaks trying to cut the deficit in half here, down 14-6. Hayden in for the extra point. Good hold. The ball is down. The kick is up. And it's 14-7.
Good job.
Streaks turn the Alleman fumble into a touchdown. Kobe Ramirez, 3 carries on the drive for all 22 of the Silver Streaks yards. And it's now 14-7 Pioneers. Kickoff from the Silver Streaks when we come back on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Shoe shopping isn't what it once was. Your options? Self-serve in store or play the online game. Before you lose all hope in having a good old-fashioned shoe shopping experience, make a trip to Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. They have a full line of upscale shoes and boots that you can be fitted for and try on in the store.
brands like Sperry, Sass, Hansco, Bjorn, Florsheim, Merrill, Rockport, Timberline, and Red Wing. When you want a well-made pair of shoes with excellent fit and customer service that doesn't include a return mail label, you gotta go to Breedlove.
There is nothing too ludicrous that the Democrats will not do to try to smear a person they want to destroy.
The Rush Limbaugh Show, starting at 11 weekday mornings, WGIL.
14-7 Alleman over the Silver Streaks. Thanks for being with us here on WGIL, Galesburg Radio 14 from Van Dyke Field at F&M Bank Stadium. Brad Benowitz, Sean Hickey with you. Jake Miller down on the sideline. Sean McCutcheon, our broadcast engineer. The kickoff taken at the 8-yard line. Running upfield, slipping a couple of tackles, and the Silver Streaks finally make the stop on Max Contreras at about the 25-yard line.
Guys, that whole break that we were gone, Coach Washbaugh is lobbying with the white hat out here to get his timeout back. He's still upset. And by the way, to no avail, he's not going to get his timeout back, but he's still upset about how fast the back official sets the ball in play and starts his count. He doesn't think he had his time to get his personnel into the game, and pretty upset, but it didn't work out. But he was lobbying the entire time.
Yeah, but you can lobby all you want. You'll still make your case to keep that in the officials' minds for the rest of the game. Out of this pistol. Hand off to the right side, trying to sweep to the outside, and then cutting up Josh Timm and forced toward the Galesburg sideline at about the 33-yard line. And they'll pick up 9 on first down.
Yeah, Chase Castillo does a pretty good job of stringing that out, but he was engaged with a blocker the entire time, so he couldn't make the tackle. And Sean talks about our pursuit, and he was able to cut it up. Our pursuit wasn't quite there.
Actually gave him a gain of 8. 30 yards on the night for Josh Timm. 2nd and 2. Hand off to the left side. This is Sheets with the carry with room to run. Streaks string him out. Flip. Now he cuts it upfield on the 40, 45-yard line and pushed out of bounds. Sean wanted to hold.
Oh, it's blocking the back.
Oh, blocking the black. No flag down anywhere. And Sheets takes it all the way to the 45-yard line for a gain of 12 and a first down for the Pioneers. Sheets is over 100 yards rushing on the night and 105.
Right. He's definitely been the workhorse tonight, as the Streaks have done a decent job of containing their other weapons. But that's come at the cost of Sheets kind of running wild at this point.
Streaks have forced 2 fumbles in this game. High snap, had a check on the keeper. Up
just
the middle, found a big hole, almost broke free. Streaks finally take him down all the way down at the Galesburg 35-yard line. Just found a huge hole up the middle, and once he was off and running, it was everything that the Streaks could do just to catch up to him. It looked like he could have gone even farther than that, and he picks up 20 yards and a first down at Galesburg's 35-yard line. Biggest run of the night for the quarterback.
Yeah, Alleman's run 3 offensive plays in this drive, and they've had all been big chunks of yardage. And that's something we haven't seen the Streaks give up. So hopefully they can tighten up here and a little bend but don't break and don't give up the big play that results in 6. Make them earn it.
Well, in the first half, it looked like we had a forefront. We're back to our 3 right now.
Halfway through the third quarter, Geneseo trailing Sycamore 13-6. A little dive play up the middle for Sheets.
Another first down.
Another first down. Right down to the first down marker at the 25. Yeah, 4 carries on the ground. 7, 12, 20, and another 10 here. Streaks trailing by a touchdown. 14-7. 7 minutes to go. Still third quarter. Long ways to go. Streaks trying to bring this drive to a stop. Matichek. And the shotgun, handoff left, Sheets with a cutback up the middle to the 20-yard line for a gain of 5.
We got the Silver Streaks coaches down here upset about, I think they were talking about the offensive guard not going down into a 3-point stance and running the football. I don't know what they're, if they're saying he's not set before the start. I have no idea, but they're again, pleading their case here, trying to put something in, some sort of bug in the officials' minds.
Yeah, we had a nice blitz there, too, on the inside. The running back made a nice jump cut, to avoid that. Pick up 5 yards.
And off to the right side and room to run, breaking free out of its Sheets. Now pushing his way, fighting all the way to the end zone. Pattis was the last line of defense, and Sheets just fended him off and broke free. As he slipped several tackles at the line of scrimmage and just passed the line of scrimmage, And a strong run by Nate Sheets, 20-yard touchdown, and they get the touchdown right back.
That's just awful tackling, unfortunately, there for the Streaks. We had him stacked up at the line, and then you know, that he just made contact, and we didn't wrap, we didn't drive. It was all the plays, touchdown.
And the extra point is good, and Alleman regains a 2-touchdown lead with 6:02 to go here in the third quarter. 21-7 Pioneers, you're listening to Silver Streaks Football at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Well, how's the house selling going?
Not good. We've only had 2 showings and 0 offers. It's been a month. How long did it take to sell yours?
Not long, but we used Century 21. Each listing gets its own website, video virtual tour, and a link to share, so your house gets tons of publicity.
That would help.
They have the largest office in town with 19 agents. They will get your house sold.
For over 60 years, your friends and neighbors have gone with Century 21 Pecker Swanson. When you're ready to buy or sell, visit century21gillsburg.com or call 34Homes today.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
6-play scoring drive for Alleman. They cover 75 yards in 2 minutes and 16 seconds. Their shortest play out of those 6 was 5 yards. 4 of them went for 10 yards or more. 2 of them went for 20. It made it look very easy after the Streaks defense had forced Alleman to earn those 2 touchdowns in the first half. They gave that one up easily, and we're halfway through the third quarter, and Galesburg down by 2 touchdowns again. Scooping it up on the far side on the squib kick, Nico Delagiannis trying to find some room to run it back, and he takes it for a return of about 7 from the 20 to the 27. And the ball slipped past him, running up on it like a shortstop, and just kind of went past him a little bit, so that kind of slowed down his potential return.
And as a first baseman, if Nico's running up on a ball as a shortstop, that's not a good thing. Usually.
Yeah.
So the Streaks need to they need to respond. You know, that's an unfortunate. You score and you get it within a 1-score game, and then defensively a little bit of a letdown there. So hopefully again we can respond and get the game back within reach. Major overload to the left side.
Streaks run outside to the zone. Left. Kobe trying to bounce to the outside. Stutter steps a tackle, shaking him at the 30, and run out of bounds at about the 33. So Kobe will pick up 5 on first down. Good game, but the Streaks down 2 touchdowns. Need to move this downfield. Still a long time to go in this one with 5:49 to go in the third quarter.
Yeah, plenty of time to get done what we can do with what we can do offensively, putting the ball in the air. We've got away from that a little bit. A lot of offensive plays on the ground here in the second half.
Ball sitting at the 34, so they actually give Kobe 6 on first down. 67 yards on the night for Kobe Ramirez. Lined up behind Ayton in the shotgun. Ayton hands off to Ramirez again up the middle. Hit right at the 35-yard line and pushed backward. Kobe will pick up a yard, and very quickly, third down for the Silver Streaks. Don't want to give it up and give it right back here.
Yeah, this will be a big play here, especially for the momentum. You know, we're not in a spot on the field where we can say this is 2-down territory. We would have to punt this ball. So, you know, this is a big play. Coach Wash taking a little time here. Ball set. Taking a little time to get this in. No different personnel.
3rd and 3, Silver Streaks. Galesburg on the night, 4 of 7 on third downs. Needing one here to keep the drive alive, trailing 2 touchdowns, third quarter. Hand off to Kobe, penetration in the backfield, and Kobe loses a yard. Tried to run right, and there were 2 defenders, one on each side of Kobe, after he got that handoff. And he stopped momentarily, tried to cut, and they just sandwiched him for a loss of a yard and fourth down for the Streaks.
Out comes the punt team here. We're looking at 4th and 5?
Yeah.
Yep. And the clock rolling under 4.5 minutes to go. Hayden to punt for the second time here in the second half. Back at his 21-yard line. Gets it away.
Nice punt.
Spiraling through the air. And dropped!
And we got it!
And the Streaks got it right back at the 33-yard line. Good pressure downfield as the hang time by James Hayden. And Alleman feeling the pressure, it just went right through his hands. And Mason Valley right there to pick it up off the ground. And the Streaks have it on the third Alleman turnover at the 32-yard line.
You know, they've given us so many opportunities, gentlemen. And that's Sam Matichek back there. Obviously, you know, he's their best athlete and the most sure hands, I'm assuming. And he makes the muff. And we got to take advantage of this. We're starting to get the breaks, hopefully, our way.
Streaks go empty backfield. Kobe Ramirez lined wide out to the right, trips to the left, and now Vaynerman in motion. Ayton throws it to the left, coming back for it, and underthrown to Justice Gatson at the 34-yard line. And even if he brings that one in, not sure how much that's going to pick up. Second down and 10.
Well, that was a screen play. We had a lineman that was coming out. I think if we get that ball caught and cut inside, we get some positive yards.
And that's unfortunate. It's tough. You know, what people won't see and won't know unless you've done what Connor had to do there is he was doing a redraw fake, and then without the seams of the football, he has to throw that out. And it's more difficult than it looks, but it is a throw that he needs to be able to make if he's going to run this.
Second and 10 Streaks at the Alleman 32-yard line. 4:16 to go third quarter. Ayton comes up under center. The Streaks shift left with Vaynerman and Castile. Ramirez the lone setback. Play fake. Ayton rolling right. Gets it away quickly. Complete to DeJuan Pulley on the far side. Slips a tackle for the first
ball's
down.
Out.
And the
ball's
ball kicked free. And Alleman there to recover, but the ball goes out of bounds.
Did the ball go out of bounds first?
Nope.
Nope. They're going to give it to Alleman.
That
the Pioneers are going to have it at the 11-yard line. So DeJuan Pulley had the first down on the pass completion, battling for the extra yardage, but then Alleman got in there and poked it loose, and the Pioneers recover, and they'll have it at their own 11.
Yeah, they, you know, the Pioneers have had plenty of mistakes, and we have yet to capitalize on those mistakes.
On our one touchdown, but that's it.
There's a little dive play up the middle. Doesn't go very far. Gain of 4, maybe. And the last player coming out of the pile is Sheets, it looks like. And they'll pick up, we'll give them 3. So this is where so many times we've seen Alleman in the past just take over on the clock. Leading by 2 touchdowns and just start to wind things away. We still got a long way to go in the game, but remember, they had that 6-minute-plus
score. Ball is on the ground again.
Ball is free again on the far side, and the Streaks, I think, have it at the 26-yard line, and they do. The ball popped out of Sheet's hands, and it was
John Pettmeyer
who fell on it. 3 turnovers in this quarter alone for the Pioneers. Sheets with a fumble again. So we have seen 3 turnovers in the last 4 plays.
And 2 by Matichek, both by Matichek.
That was Matichek there.
Yep. So he muffs the fumble and he fumbles this one. Timeout. Alleman wants to regroup.
Who can blame him? Still leading by 2 touchdowns, 21-7. But the Streaks with the ball at the Alleman 27, trying to make something positive happen out of this, trailing by 2 touchdowns. Wow. Now, how much of the cold do you think is affecting this? First time either one of these teams have had to play in weather this cold this season. Now, Matichek obviously has as much varsity experience as he has. But still, it's the first time this year that they've had to do this.
Right. It's not the cold. It's when the ball's wet. And you know, it's just they've played through, you know, I'm sure I don't know where they played week 3 when we were, you know, getting poured on. And
they were playing Sterling.
Yeah. So, I mean, they were getting hit too. And you know, I don't know. You know, obviously that Sterling game, Sterling 40-pointed him. So it could be a factor. I mean, I don't think so. I think our guys are out here and, you know, taking care of the football and doing the best they can. This is just kind of a freak thing. I wonder if that kid's had, you know, 2 turnovers in a game ever in his career.
Yeah,
and it's just, you know, credit to the Streaks to be there to pick these things up. Now, again, we got to finish with 6 points here.
So first down, Streaks. They line up in the eye. Everybody packed in tight. Mason Valley goes in motion. Right, left, handoff Ramirez. Finds a hole across left tackle. He kind of hangs the ball out there as it looked like he got knocked off balance moving across the line of scrimmage. He's tackled at the 23-yard line. Short gain on first down.
Good offensive play there. We're going to bring the
give them four.
Valley and Vanderbilt come out and pull in Justice Gatson back in. So it looks like the streaks will at least give the offensive look of spreading it out on this next play. Essentially a tight end trips to the right side, tight end on the left.
2:45 and counting, third quarter, streaks down two touchdowns. Ayton in the shotgun, short snap, gets the pass away to the far side, ball deflected up in the air, Pulley couldn't bring it in, and then Alleman couldn't get there as they had two guys who had a wide open shot at that deflected pass. It went straight up into the air, but nobody could get to it, and it'll be third down. And a break for the Silver Streaks if that one didn't turn into a turnover.
Well, that was a well-thrown ball. We have to catch that ball, right. But the good news is that it didn't end up in someone else's hands with that deflection.
Again, DeJuan Pulley has been the favorite target of Connor Ayton here tonight. Five receptions for 53 yards. It was a target again on that one. Empty backfield for the Streaks on third and six. Ayton back to pass. Flushed out of the pocket,
tipped.
Under pressure, throws it, and a flag down inside the 20-yard line. They're going to say that was a catch?
It was a catch. I'm wondering if they're going to get Vanderman for offensive pass interference, though.
Pulley had to dive back for it. About a yard short of the first down where the reception is made. The officials are talking it over. Still a conversation going on. Down at about the 18-yard line, 21-7 Alleman.
Hold.
Holding against Alleman.
Okay.
Defensive holding. With 2.5 minutes to go here in this third quarter, the Streaks' drive will continue. Referee calls up Kobe Ramirez, explaining the situation. This is what happens if you accept the penalty. If you take the pass play, the completion to Pulley, you're going to be a yard short of the first down. Defensive holding is automatic first down even in high school, is it not? So it looks like the Streaks are going to take the penalty. They're walking it back to the line of scrimmage. Now they're going to walk off the defensive holding penalty.
First down.
The official doesn't look like he knows where he's going with it.
No.
He's looking all over the place.
It looks like he lost a contact.
The ball is down at the 13-yard line and an automatic first down for the Silver Streaks. And another Alleman penalty and another Alleman mistake.
Chains haven't moved.
First down for the Streaks.
Oh, the Penguin over there got him.
All right, first down, Silver Streaks at the 13-yard line. 2:30 to go, third quarter. Galesburg trailing two touchdowns, trying to get back within seven here. Mason Valley lines up tight end left. I formation behind Connor Ayton. Hand off to Kobe.
Yeah,
cut
there we
back
go.
Left.
Back
room to run at the 10. Going for the pylon. Pushed out of bounds inside the five at about the two. And that'll be another first down for the Silver Streaks. First and goal at the Alleman 2-yard line.
We're staying heavy with two tight ends here. So the Streaks with four downs, obviously, from 2 yards. Good response. Great response, obviously, to the score here. And with the turnovers in the middle, trying to make this a one-score game.
Kobe Ramirez, 58 yards on the ground in the second half after just 24 in the first half. They go to him again. Alleman stunts at the line of scrimmage. They go
nice
to Kobe,
play.
Tripped up in the backfield. And a good, sure tackle made right at the legs by Josh Tim. Because Kobe had it.
Yep.
But it was only the ankle tackle by Tim that prevented it. And Kobe loses two, second and goal at the 4.
Trying to look here at Coach Wash, and we're going to get personnel. Tight ends coming out. Well, Vanderman and Valley coming out again. Justice and DeJuan Pulley in. Last time this resulted, this formation or this personnel group resulted in a play-action pass.
Minute 45 to go. Pulley splits out wide to the right.
Still double tight.
Gatson to the left. Ramirez alone in the backfield with Ayton under center. Play fake.
Play action pass.
Ayton rolling right.
Tucked
Pulley
it.
Calling
tucked
for it.
It.
Honor Connor's going to go for
touchdown.
It. And
there
he rolls in and a late and flag
late
comes
flag.
In at the end of the play.
I'm assuming
that should be against Alleman
right.
And the touchdown will stand.
Some sort of face mask.
Uh-huh. The officials haven't signaled touchdown. Connor got to the goal line. Silver Streaks players are down there with the arms on the air saying, you got to at least call the touchdown. The officials are talking over the penalty.
Yeah, I think the side judge called the touchdown. You just couldn't see his hands.
Personal foul, face mask against Alleman. Waved off. Touchdown, Silver Streaks.
No, not waved off. Coach Washbaugh wants to talk about this being tacked on. He wants to talk about this being tacked on the kickoff.
It's at the end of the play. Now the officials have more discussion out there.
These guys are struggling. This crew is struggling to and it's not the kids. You know, sometimes they struggle to maintain composure with the kids. These guys are struggling with the rules of the football game.
Uh-huh.
Not the problem.
And while we're out here with our muddle, and Alleman has all the time in the world to adjust to it.
Right.
And now the referee is going to come on over and talk it over with Coach Washabaugh. In fact, we saw this in the game last week. We had a personal foul penalty called against United Township at the end of a Streaks scoring drive.
Coach Washabaugh is correct, and I think this time his pleading is going to go heated.
He called it wrong.
Right, the guy called it wrong. Alleman can adjust to our muddle. As Sean said, that's something that will go unnoticed here. You know, we want to maybe run some two-point conversion. We're probably going to have to come in and kick it, which is fine. But it defeats the purpose.
So after Matichek fumbles the punt by the Silver Streaks, Galesburg recovers at the 27-yard line. A defensive holding penalty against the Pioneers on third down gave the Streaks a first down, and they end up turning Alleman's mistakes this time into points. And it's 21-13 with a minute 31 to go, and now the Streaks line up traditional. And Hayden will have a chance at the extra point here to get the Streaks back within seven. Shut out in the first half. Streaks have two touchdowns here in the third quarter. The extra point is good.
Good.
And it's 21-14 with 91 seconds to go in the third quarter. Let's take a quick timeout. Galesburg down 7. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Office Specialists, providing solutions for your business. By Templeton Roofing, Galesburg's oldest and most experienced roofing contractor. Visit them at templetonroofing.com. And by Tom Irons and Accounting Systems on Simmons Street in downtown Galesburg.
Your wife is all about improving your home sweet home. Problem is, you already have a day job. Enter Courtright Construction of Oneida. These guys can do it all, from a minor remodel to a complete build. See their work at courtrightconstruction.com. The right choice for your next project.
News, talk, sports on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
21-14, Silver Streaks now trail Alleman by a touchdown for the second time in this quarter. A five-play scoring drive for the Silver Streaks after the fumbled punt by Alleman. Streaks take a minute 50 off the clock to take it 27 yards. Connor Ayton with the four-yard touchdown run. James Hayden's extra point. Ayton's fourth rushing touchdown of the season, and the Streaks are back within seven. And the extra point, or the kickoff, will be made 15 yards closer at the Alleman 45-yard line on the ninth Alleman penalty.
With this field position, Sean, this is a great opportunity to try to onside kick one, because you don't give up that much, and there it is.
There it is, and Alleman falls on it at the 34-yard line, right into the into the numbers of Fernandez, right.
He must be a baseball player.
Not that I recognize.
No?
No.
Well, he fielded it
well.
Yes.
He did field it well. But, you know, what we were saying there, with the extra 15 yards tacked on, if you onside kick it and you're unsuccessful like the Streaks were, you don't lose that much in field position. So Alleman's going to have it at the 34. That would be, you know, obviously a little above average run back. But you don't lose as much if it's an unsuccessful try.
And with the propensity of the Pioneers to put the ball on the turf here.
Right.
Why not?
Matichek on the keeper,
comes the
running left, trying to
good
get to the outside. Streaks stringing him out. He does get to the corner and upfield, and a late flag as he got pushed out of bounds at the end of the play. That's going to go against the Silver Streaks, and Matichek got the first down up to the 46-yard line, plus more coming.
Yeah, I think Vannerman's motor, I think one time there, just got the best of him, and he's doing fine, and the coaches are telling him, hey, that was just an aggressive penalty, not a mistake in terms of mental mistake. Just a little too aggressive there. And as a coach, you'll take those every now and then, especially from a kid that usually doesn't have that issue.
Unfortunately, where we're looking at field position, kicking off, you know, where we had the 15 yards tacked on, and we do an onside kick. They get the ball at the 35. They get a first down. They get a penalty. And now they're going to have the ball placed at the Galesburg 37.
Yep.
Minute 24 to go, third quarter.
Been a long quarter, hasn't it, gentlemen?
Been a long night overall.
Right.
Well, usually, I mean, we're over two hours in the game, and we haven't started the fourth quarter yet.
And Sheets trying to get nice to the tackle. Outside, and good tackle made by Demetrius Pulley. They just strung Sheets out, running right, trying to get to the corner, and Demetrius wrapped him up, and Sheets still picked up three on the play, but it was a hard-earned three.
Nice play on the outside there by Demetrius. You have to leverage your man and try to keep the guy from getting outside of you, losing contain, string it out so the inside linebackers can come play.
Our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time player of the game last week. Second and seven, Alleman inside the Galesburg 35, close to the 33-yard line. 45 seconds left, third quarter. Matichek on the option, pitches it to Sheets behind him. Slips a tackle at the 35. And moving up forward, stacked up short of the 30-yard line where he's pushed backwards then. So the streak still contained him. Makes positive yardage out of it. Are they going to put him at the 30? Surely not. He did not get to the 30-yard line.
Another nice
That's
spot.
That's where they're putting him. Wow.
Penguin. The emperor over there. That's going to be the quarter right there.
Finally. Wow. All right, here we go.
So when we come back, third and three, Alleman at the Galesburg 30-yard line with the Pioneers leading 21-14 over the Galesburg Silver Streaks. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Protecting the quarterback on the field is a lot like protecting your home with the proper insurance coverage. If he or your home gets sacked, chances are you might not win the game. Hi, I'm Mark Craddy with Craddy Insurance, your Savea Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. If disaster strikes, don't be caught off sides with the wrong coverage. Our money-saving auto home discount is the perfect play. Stop by Craddy Insurance on North Henderson Street and find out why Craddy and Savea Mutual Insurance Agency are the best protection in the area for your team.
I hate my bathroom, but it's the only one in the house, so if we have it remodeled, where are we supposed to go?
If you only have one bathroom in the house, being without it for long is not an option, which is why a lot of folks put off that much-needed remodel. But a custom-fitted acrylic bath system from Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating can be done in a matter of days. You can pick a variety of colors and styles, and it won't chip, crack, stain, or fade. Plus, no more grout. I'm Neil Thomas. Get your beautiful new bathroom at 342.
Tune in for Fighting Illini football as Illinois takes on Purdue. Coverage begins tomorrow at 1:30.
Follow the Illini all season long on WGIL.
Third down play to start the fourth quarter. Running left, Sheets crosses the 30. Had to get to the Galesburg 27-yard line, and it looks like he did it. The pile was there to slow him down, but not slow him down enough, and Sheets moves the chains. The Alleman Pioneers did not face third down the entire third quarter, and yet they maintain the lead and now have a new set of downs here at the Streaks' 26-yard line. And Sheets is becoming the workhorse again after an injury earlier in the game. He's got 154 yards on the ground and two touchdowns. Lines up to the left of Matichek in the shotgun.
Here he goes again.
Gets the handoff again. Big hole across the right side. Fends off a defender in the secondary. Finally brought down at the 12-yard line for a gain of 14 more.
Yeah, not the right time for the Streaks defense to soften up and give up those large chunks. So I don't know what they need to do on the defensive line. Sean, do we stem much? I don't see that's a part of really our defensive game plan, but we need to try to figure something out here as we keep them out of the end zone, hopefully keep this a one-score game.
Well, we're staying in our three front, and what you do with that is those guys up front are going to be moving constantly. They're head up on somebody, and they have to play gap defense.
First down, nice. Pioneers.
Nice. There
he goes. Pressure in the backfield, and the streak stopped this one for a loss. Sheets had no chance after they were already into the backfield when the handoff was made.
Who's on that blitz?
That's Pat Meyer.
Look at that spot.
Be back at the 16-yard line for a loss of three.
You know, and
Sheets, that's his first negative run of the night.
Right, and right as I ask for it, you know, you get a well-timed and perfectly called blitz, and Pettmeyer does a fantastic job of finishing the playoff.
Pettmeyer with a fumble recovery earlier back in the third quarter. Streaks down a touchdown, 10:40 to go in the game here, fourth quarter. Alleman second and 13 at the Galesburg 16-yard line. Snap to Matichek in the gun. Pressure on, throws across the middle of the field, and it's deflected and picked off in the end zone.
By Deljonis.
Deljonis.
Far side of the field, returns it to the 15 to the 16-yard line. Alleman went down to the ground to get it. It was popped up into the air, and Nico was standing right behind, deflected to him perfectly, and the Streaks have new life down by a touchdown with the ball at the 17-yard line.
That would be Nico's third takeaway this game. One at the fumble recovery, one at the strip, and now the interception.
Just right place at the right time. Yeah. Right, he has fantastic coverage. The ball pops off the Alleman receiver in the end zone, and he runs it out.
So the nose of the football at the far hash mark of the 17-yard line, and the Streaks down a touchdown, looking for their second straight win after an 0-6 start, hoping to tie it up on this drive with 10:26 to go in the game, a long time to play. Offset eye behind Ayton. Play fake. Ayton rolling right. Throws it across the middle and overthrows Chase Castile at the 30. Incomplete. He had some heat on that pass, but just thrown too high.
Yeah, ball was way behind him, and that had to deal with the pressure coming off right off the bat. Vanderman trying to come off into the flat, and he was tackled in the line of scrimmage, so he only had two options on that flood route instead of the normal three.
And that was something I talked about earlier where they had that fourth down play and they scored a touchdown. And when a running back is coming through the line of scrimmage like that, to prevent that from happening, you got to stop him right there. If that requires you to tackle him, you tackle him.
Castile is the receiving tight end. Quincy Bierce is the blocking tight end. Castile comes out. Bierce stays in. And the Silver Streaks line up two wide right, one to the left. Ramirez in the backfield, lined up to the right of Ayton in the shotgun. Connor rolling right. Looking to pass, throwing it long, downfield. Vanderman dives for it and comes up short. He got turned around across the 45-yard line. He had two steps on his defender, and had Vanderman kept his progress going in the right direction, he would have been right in position, but he just got himself turned around and couldn't quite right himself to be able to pull that in. So third down, Silver Streaks at the 17.
Vanderman is the, I think he's a leading reception getter for the Streaks, but it's normally on pass plays out in the flats. It's usually not deep down the field like that. And
he was open.
He was open, but got a little bit turned around.
Well, I think that's what they tried the previous play with Castile.
Yeah.
But he kind of cut it out a little bit. I think they wanted him to go a little bit more vertical, and that's why the ball seemed to be over his head and behind him, because I think maybe Ayton was anticipating him to be more at field.
Short. Snap. Ayton picks it up on the bounce, tucks it in. He's going to run with it. He may have it. He stops now. Dives for the first down at the far side of the field, a yard past the first down marker.
Yep, good decision there. That
was
as soon as I kind of saw the play developing at a great angle, and he had some space. He did a fantastic job of using his legs. That is a weapon that he has.
Eight carries, 23 yards on the night for Connor Ayton, including a four-yard touchdown run, and the Streaks with an enormous third down conversion. Has the ball at the 28-yard line, 10:08 still to play in the fourth quarter, trailing by a touchdown. Sophomores lost a thriller. They were down three touchdowns in the fourth quarter, rallied back with two scores and had the ball late with a chance to tie, and ended up coming up short. Varsity trying to complete the rally here. Still trailing by a touchdown, handoff to Kobe left. Ramirez trying to bounce to the outside, gets out of one tackle, and steps out of bounds on the far side of the field, just across the 30 to the 31.
Jake, that was the outside zone play again. Yep. We haven't seen much belly tonight.
We haven't. Yeah, we haven't. Usually a staple. We saw it early in the game and it was stuffed, and I wonder if just that was enough for Coach Wash to see that that wasn't something that was going to be an advantageous play for us tonight.
Yeah, but going against the 50 front with an uncovered guard, that should be something that would be that should work for us.
Yeah, you'd like it. I mean, on paper it works. Sometimes in reality, as we know, it's a different deal.
Second and 7, Silver Streaks at their own 31-yard line. 10:03 to play, fourth quarter. Ayton in the shotgun. Three wideouts to the left, the short side of the field. Pressure on. Ayton gets the pass away, and it's overthrown to Gatson at the 41-yard line, but by deflecting, going up high for it and deflecting it,
yeah.
He had a potential intercepting receiver in the backfield behind him, and Justice getting up and deflecting that pass, it batted it up and over the outstretched hands of the Alleman defensive back, Killian Ahern. So it's incomplete third down. At the Silver Streak 31-yard line.
Jake, no personnel change here?
No, no personnel change, and just kind of watching, you know, Connor and Coach Washball in deep discussion there on this third down, all-important third down play.
Streaks with a big third down conversion just a moment ago, needing to get another one here on third and seven. Ayton back to pass. Steps up in the pocket. Throws
wide
long.
Open.
Vaynerman open. Caught at the 40-yard line. First down, spun down inside the 35 to the 33-yard line. And the Silver Streaks pick up 36.
That was the wheel play again. Yep. We saw it. We had that earlier in the game, and it, you know, David was missed on the pass play. Here, Connor had a little bit more time to look up the field and was able to spot him. It wasn't the best throw.
No, and there are two receivers in the same area. I have no idea how that ball gets completed, but happy that it did.
Well, they just completely lost track of Vaynerman out of the backfield.
They
so
just lost him.
As a result, even though the ball was not the best thrown ball, there was no defender there to break it up.
Biggest pass play of the night for the Silver Streaks. First catch on the night for Vaynerman at 36 yards. The Streaks' leading receiver on the season. Now out of the straight-up I formation with tight
There's
ends
Belly.
In tight.
There's Belly, and that's
Ramirez up the middle. And
here's the problem with Belly right now, especially if you're running Belly to the right. It's big number 71, and he should be the guy that's being double-teamed. But right now, that kid is showing his strength as a four-tech, so that's the problem with Belly to that side, and that's what happened earlier in the ball game too.
Yeah, no gain. That's what it really comes down
right.
to.
If I was going to run it, I would run it the other way.
Harrison Bay Bowie, 29 carries for 209 yards against Quincy tonight.
Oh. Did you call a score of that recently?
Abubakar Berry, 17 carries for 136 yards. We'll tell you more. Alleman shifting defensively, looking a little confused. Three wideouts to the left for the Streaks on second and 10.
Screen.
With a drop back on the screen play, gets it complete to Kobe.
There we go.
Steps
now we got
back
something.
And gets
Come
away.
On,
has room to run to the 30. Trying to get to the 25.
Oh, not a hold.
Flagged down as Kobe gets knocked out of bounds at the 20-yard line. And the Streaks coaching staff is irate again. There's Marty
Same
Turner
guy.
Sprinting up the near sideline. Furious at another flag called against the Silver Streaks. Another hold on the far side of the field. Negating a Silver Streaks first down on a perfectly executed screen pass. You're getting an earful, I think, down there, Jake, of what they're saying. It's all directed at the same official, is it not?
It's the same guy that's called now four or five holding penalties. That one at least what he was in position for, but it negates a first down. He's getting it from the coaching staff, from the fans.
Rightfully so.
Four holding penalties against the Silver Streaks. One negated a touchdown earlier in the game.
Got to grab Coach Blackwell, and we got to get him back here so we don't get another penalty.
So the ball now spotted back at the 32-yard line. So the 10-yard holding call downfield. The Streaks actually net a yard out of the play. But it negates a first down, which is the really painful part. So, second and nine now. 8:37 to go, fourth quarter. Streaks trailing by a touchdown. At the Alleman 32-yard line. Vaynerman in motion. Ayton swings it to the outside. Gatson comes back for it.
Good.
Upfield with some blockers to the 20. Slips a tackle. Spins off. Down inside the 15.
Hold on tight.
Still
Hold
on his feet. Still on his feet to the 10. And finally gang tackled and stopped up. And Justice Gatson comes out with fired up teammates as he's got the Streaks at a first and goal at the 10.
Fantastic individual effort right there.
It was.
It was just a kid that just wasn't going to go down. He didn't care how many people were on him. I was a little concerned about ball security, as you were, Sean. A little concerned about that. You know, sometimes those plays, kids just wanting to do too much, results in a turnover, but a fantastic job there by Justice Gatson.
I think we saw that earlier in the half when DeJuan was trying to extend the play a little bit and ended up losing it. But, you know, worked out for the better there, and here we are, first and 10.
First and goal, Silver
first and goal.
Streaks.
First and goal from the 10.
Out of the I formation with Connor up under center now. Toss play to Kobe, swinging to the left, trying to get to the outside. Patient. Got some lead tackles. Cuts inside the 10 to the 5, where he's stacked up, still on his feet. Battles down to the 3-yard line before he's finally stopped.
What a patient run there by Kobe. And Sean, I was surprised we didn't get a holding call on that one, too, because I saw a little bit there on the edge, and we're running to the sideline where we get those calls. So great individual run, great patient run. He let his blocker set himself up.
Yeah, I don't know that I necessarily saw the hold. I just figured one would be thrown.
One was coming, yeah.
6-yard gain is where they're going to spot it at the 4. Kobe up to 89 yards on the ground tonight with 65 of them coming in the second half. 7:40, still a long time to go in the game. Streak second and goal from the Alleman 4, trailing by 7. Ayton, hands off. Kobe to the outside, going for the pylon, dives!
The guy's out of position.
No call from the officials yet. The Streaks thought they got it. Kobe thought he got the ball inside the pylon. They're going to say he's out at the 1. Said the knee was down at the 1, so it'll be 3rd and goal for the Streaks.
Flag? Just flagged our guy.
Flag in the end zone, way over there,
Kobe,
on the far side of the field.
That's going to be a 15-yarder, boys.
Unsportsmanlike conduct, I'm sure, right?
Yep.
Yep, there it is.
These guys have, it's just.
They've had enough.
Yeah, at this point, they've lost control.
So from the goal line, they're going to spot off the 15 yards.
He made the call from the 10-yard line because he didn't move with the ball. And then he ran up 10 yards, almost 10 yards, and said he was out of bounds. Mr. Popper.
And with the flag coming at the end of the play.
Yep, the down counts. So now you got 3rd and 15.
Uh-huh.
3rd and goal from the 15.
Boy, here we go. We're getting real close here.
Mike Washabaugh still pleading his case, with Connor Ayton standing right next to him. Now the referee trots back out onto the field. 7:28, still a long time to go in this game, and it's been a long game. As we are coming up on 10 o'clock here at Van Dyke Field, thanks for being with us here on WGIL, Galesburg Radio 14. Brad Benowitz, Sean Nicky, Jake Miller here with you. Next to last game of the regular season, Sean McCutcheon, our broadcast engineer. Now confusion by the Streaks in terms of what they're supposed to be doing. They don't know how to line up here on 3rd and goal at the 15. Quincy Beers coming off field now. Personnel change. Beers and Valley out. Dewan Pulley.
And now we're counting.
Justice Gatson in. And the back judge is counting. The back judge is counting. And the Streaks trying to get this play away, and they don't do it. Delay of game. So another 5-yard penalty. The Streaks have now been flagged 8 times for 80 yards, and it'll be 1st and goal back at the 20. So what do you think, guys? Why take the penalty there? Why try to get it off instead of using a timeout?
I'm not sure that we were aware.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy for me to be aware of it because, you know, I'm standing right in front of it. He's got so many things going on.
Sure.
You know, trying to calm kids down. He had a one sportsmanlike penalty. He's trying to negotiate his case. It's just a lot to think about. You know, so again, we just, unfortunately, things are coming unglued at this point.
Isn't that where you rely on your assistant coaches to
you
make
should.
You aware?
And they need to.
And the booth.
Yeah, the booth. These guys need to help out.
All right. 3rd and goal from the 20 now. Ayton. Empty backfield, back to pass, looking across the middle of the field. It's not very well thrown, and Alleman comes away with the interception. They caught it inbounds. Nate Cheats comes down with the interception. And after all of that, the Streaks come away empty and still trail by a touchdown with 7:21 to go in the game. As soon as you let that one go, and you throw that, if you don't throw that one well toward the middle, you're asking for it to be intercepted, and unfortunately for the Streaks, it was. So now Alleman has it at the 20-yard line, but still a lot of time left, and a mistake-prone Pioneers team that's given the Streaks some opportunities. And if the defense can make another big turnover here, is it too much to ask for another one?
It is not. Well, hopefully our guys are inspired now. I mean, not that we weren't before or anything else, but you know, we there's yet another score we left on the field.
Streak stunt at the Trap. Line of scrimmage. Handoff goes to the left. Little bit of room to run, but the Streaks close the hole quickly against Nate Sheets, and it'll be a gain of a couple on first down.
I mean, we gotta call it like it is, guys, and you know, we didn't agree with the spot, and we didn't agree with what happened over there on the 1 yard line, but you got to bite your tongue and you got to get back in the huddle.
That's right.
And that's, you know, it's hard to say. You know, it's easy for me to say right now, I guess. It's harder to do. But you got to bite your tongue, you got to get in the huddle, and you got to put it in.
Yeah, we're under seven minutes now left in the game, and we've got to come up with a turnover here or a, you know, a punt.
Big defensive stop. Second and seven at the 23-yard line. Matichek in the shotgun. Keeps it. Trying to get to the outside. Streaks come up.
Missed,
and he
two
slips
tackles,
some tackles
three
in the backfield
tackles.
And run out of bounds on the far side of the field with a first down up to the 32-yard line. They had him contained, but he slipped out of it, missed a couple of tackles, and it's a first down. Well, and I think, you know, too, not only do you have to be mature enough and calm enough to hold your tongue, but you don't have to look but just a week ago when we saw United Township getting into much the same kinds of situations and seeing the problems that it caused for them in the Streaks' big victory and how you could even learn from their mistakes last week and know how damaging that can be just by watching them last week and know not to do it to yourselves this week.
You know, to be fair, it's not something we've had to deal with.
That's right.
You know, and we've been in ball games and we haven't had this issue this year, and it's unfortunately rearing its head right now.
First down from the 31-yard line up the middle, and a late flag comes in at the end of the play as Alleman picks up three on first down up to the 34.
He might throw a hold on Alleman.
He pointed Alleman's way.
He sure did.
There it is. Holding against the Pioneers. And a Bronx cheer from some of the Galesburg faithful down below us here on the home side. So that'll take Alleman back to the 22-yard line. Must have been late getting the flag out because that flag didn't come in until the end of the play. That's Alleman's 10th penalty for 93 yards. See if the Streaks can take advantage of it here.
Well, for Alleman, the good part of that penalty is that they're able to get a fresh 25 and the clock is running.
6:20 to go in the game. 21-14 is the Alleman lead. Out of the packed in eye. Hand off to the right side. Tim getting to the outside. Gets all the way back to the first down marker. Plus one more. A gain of 11 on first down. It'll be second and nine coming up from the 32-yard line.
Did that go out of bounds? They did stop the clock.
I thought it was, but I didn't see the...
I thought it was, too.
He's showing it now.
Okay.
So they're actually going to mark it out right at the original line of scrimmage. It'll be second and 10. Gain of 10.
Yep, got to find a playmaker here as the last vestiges of the fourth quarter run down. You know, the time is going to become a factor.
6-1 Milwaukee over Los Angeles. Bottom
of
the seventh
inning.
Good.
That's what we need right
and
there.
The Streaks with a big stop. This will go for a gain of maybe a yard. And it'll be third and long.
Third and a bunch.
Pioneers.
Well, as
the bell rings.
Yep, that's a bingo right there.
Pioneers 5 of 7 on third downs in this game tonight. This will be third and nine at the 32. And the biggest defensive opportunity for the Silver Streaks here tonight.
Well, let's see. They're going for it here. It's third down. Sorry.
Packed in tight. Wing T type formation. Matichek with the play action.
Sheets
throwing
in,
and a wide open Sheets on the far side of the field for the first down. Tackled at the 46-yard line. Wide open, a yard past the first down marker, and they execute it perfectly for a gain of 13.
And what makes it worse is that the coaching staff is exactly, they're yelling that exact play. It's a little counter pass as you see a lineman pull out and lead the way. And they're yelling that. They're telling individual Streaks who has the running backs in coverage, and it still didn't get done.
Well, coming through the line, I mentioned this a couple times already, was the fullback coming straight through, and you know, I don't know exactly, you know, how we're doing that with our linebackers, but I would say that's our middle backer that needs to get in his face and not let him out. That should be his read. Here he comes again.
Right up the middle goes Sheets. He breaks free into the secondary, and he breaks free all the way, and he may have broken the streaks back with 4:50 to go in the game, putting Alleman up two touchdowns with a 54-yard touchdown run. And Nate Sheets is over 200 yards rushing on the night now. That's his third touchdown run.
Jake, could you tell, did our play side backer blitz on that?
That wasn't something I was looking at there. He just went untouched. So it's something, somebody was in, either two guys were in the same gap or somebody missed a gap. Something went awry on the defense in that series.
Six-play scoring drive, 80 yards. And they took about 2.5 minutes off the clock. We'll go through the official numbers after this timeout. The extra point is good. Alleman up 28-14. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
If you ever get some downtime during harvest, come out to YEM and test drive a new Silverado. All 2018 Silverado LT crew cabs are $11,000 off. Or how about a 2018 Silverado LT double cab or LTZ crew cab, $10,000 off. So here's to all our hardworking friends out in the field. Come see us soon at YEM, North Henderson, Galesburg. Your new Silverado is waiting for you.
93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Nate Sheets' 54-yard touchdown run caps off a six-play scoring drive for Alleman. They covered 80 yards in just 2 minutes and 31 seconds. The extra point makes it 28-14 Pioneers and 4:50 to go in the game. So it's not over, 4:50. Not a lot of time, but enough time for the Silver Streaks to score twice. Things have to go not perfectly right, but a lot has to go their direction as they squib kick it across the middle of the field and then knocked out of bounds. Nico couldn't pick it up, so no chance at a return. It'll be out at the 24-yard line.
And because it was touched, there's no penalty with the ball going out of bounds.
Right. Moline is going to defeat Quincy 28-21. They had Jarrell Brock on short yardage trying to pick up a key first down late in the game. He didn't get it. Maybe the only time all season Jarrell Brock has been stopped on short yardage. And it turned the ball back over to Moline on downs. And the Maroons are running out the clock on their second consecutive Western Big Six Conference title. On a barn burner down at Quincy, 28-21. Here, Streaks trail 28-14. Connor with a pump fake right, or left, throws right through the hands of Pulley, incomplete. Second down.
Yeah, we don't have, we don't have the ability to miss plays like this. Every play has to count now, and so, you know, it just looks like a really, you know, benign incomplete pass, but there's seconds to run off the clock. You know, we have to get two scores. We have 4:46 left, so you're looking at a score, an onside kick, and a score. So every play needs to matter here for the Streaks.
Yeah, if he was able to bring that in, he had some blockers in front of him.
I'd get out of
the
bounds.
The play was
the
set
clock
up, yeah.
Second and 10. Streaks send three wideouts to the top of the field, up to the left. Fake handoff. Now Aiton rolls to the left. He's going to tuck it in and keep it. Gets hit across the 30. Dives forward to the 33-yard line, a yard and a half short of the first down. It'll be third and one.
We got to go. 4.5 to go in the game. Clock's running.
Trailing by two touchdowns. Just like we saw UT get down first and goal last week and then move backwards, Silver Streaks did the same thing here tonight. That UT drive ended with an interception at the goal line. The Streaks drive ended with an interception in the end zone. Alleman came right back and scored. Now lead by two touchdowns. Here's Kobe up the middle for the first down and then slowed down, dragged down from behind, but he's got the first down, stopped up to the 39-yard line, but it's a first down. Good third down conversion by the Silver Streaks, a new set of downs short of the 40.
Streaks will have to go to the air here shortly, and you'll look to see it here on first down and need to see some vertical routes.
Need some big plays.
As we see Streaks sending Gaston and
Pulley back in. Yep. Clock rolling under 3:50 to go by the time this snap gets away. Aiton lines up in the shotgun. Ramirez to his left. Three wideouts right, one to the top of the field for the streaks. Ayton looks left, throws that direction, and overthrows Gatson incomplete. Stops the clock, 3:38 to go. 24th pass attempt, a season high for Connor Ayton. He's got 165 yards passing with two interceptions. The touchdowns for the streaks have been on the ground. Ayton running one in, and Ramirez running one in. They need two scores and 3:38 to go. Keep in mind, two missed field goals earlier, two touchdowns called back, one an inadvertent whistle by the referee, one a holding penalty on a pass completion that would have been a touchdown. So mistakes have hurt Alleman, but they've definitely hurt the streaks here as well. Kobe running up the middle, cutbacks, trying to find holes, finally tackled at the 45, a long gain of six, and it'll be third and four.
And something to note here, too, that the Pioneers are doing defensively is they've taken, and I don't know personnel-wise who it might be, but they only have a four-man front and one linebacker in the middle. And they're running basically a four-man shell over the top of that as defensive back. So it's going to be a harder, you know, uphill battle here for us to try to get some yards passing-wise.
Third and four streaks.
Now they're back to the five front.
Trailing 28-14, Ayton in the shotgun, empty backfield. Looking left, throws it that direction, throws it behind, pulley deflected, comes back for it, spun down, and upended at the 47-yard line. When he deflected it, when it bounced off him on the initial catch, it went backwards a couple of yards. He still was able to go back for it, but that pretty much removed the chance of getting the first down, and it's fourth and two now. Ended up picking up two.
Yeah, it would have been better, you know, to be honest, for that to fall incomplete as the clock continues to to wind down, and the offensive gain was minimal. Streaks need to convert this if they want to have any shot.
Yep.
We got him.
Ayton, man open. Pulley goes up high for that one and reins it in and tackled at the Alleman 46-yard line, and the Streaks with a big fourth down conversion. That stops the clock enough to move the chains into Alleman territory. So a much easier catch on the last one and a much more difficult one on this one and much more impressive to help the Streaks move the chains. Gain of nine.
Play call's already in. We're at the line of scrimmage, and we're ready to go. 2 minutes to go.
New set of downs at the Alleman 44-yard line. Straight drop back pass. Pump fake twice by Ayton. Tucks it in. Now throws it long downfield.
Oh.
Deflected off
wow.
of Pulley and right back to Alleman, and they can't catch it either. A deflection off the Alleman defender. Went off of DeJuan's hands in the end zone and right back to
holding on defense.
Right back to Alleman. They couldn't drop it. It's defensive holding after all that.
Yeah, a little pinball action there with the ball.
Yes.
Right. Deflected right off of, who was it, DeJuan? His face mask.
Yeah,
right back to the defender and right through his hands.
Was almost either the most spectacular touchdown or the most awful interception, but it was defensive holding. And it'll be a first down for the Silver Streaks.
Yeah, with this four shell, you know, one thing you can do is that you can run three receivers to one side and still gain advantages that way. But right now the streak stand pretty much in twins and with the tight end. And like you said, it's going to be tough to get deep on these guys. But we have seen the wheel play get it done. And so there are ways to hopefully get a big offensive play here.
Now only 2 minutes remaining in the game with the Silver Streaks at the Alleman 34-yard line. Ayton rolling right. That's the short side of the field. And now throws it right on the sideline, but incomplete. Intended for David Vaynerman, who did everything he could to keep the feet down in bounds, falling out of bounds, but it's incomplete. Clock stops with a minute 54 to go. Ball at the Alleman 34-yard line. Silver Streaks trailing by two touchdowns. Nate Sheets has been the backbreaker for Alleman tonight against the Silver Streaks. 223 yards on the ground on 23 carries and three touchdowns, including two long ones here in the second half that capped off two quick Alleman scoring drives.
Over the
straight
middle.
Drop by eight, flushed out of the pocket, rolling right, trying to get out of bounds. Cups
it.
Up field, gains a couple of extra yards at the end of the play, and steps out of bounds just inside the 25-yard line, a yard short of the first down.
Yeah, Sean saw Chase Castile breaking open there over the middle, and that's where the hole in this shell will be about
correct.
Mid-level. And, you know, you can throw and hopefully get a nice little catch and run out of that, something to look for.
Well, with one linebacker, the hook curl area is going to be open.
6 seconds went off the clock.
With a cover four shell.
Minute 48 to go. Third and two. Silver Streaks at the Alleman 26-yard line. Out of the shotgun. Ayton hands off to Kobe. He's got the first down to the 20. Moves the pile down to the 15 to the 14-yard line. Ramirez picks up 12. The clock will stop with a minute 41 to go. Enough to move the chains. Worth it to keep it on the ground and third and short like that, knowing that if you get the first down, it stops the clock. Kobe picked up 12.
It only stops the clock to move the chains.
Just to move it, right.
So the clock picks back up here, and the streak's right on the ball.
Kobe's over 100 yards rushing now after that gain of 12. Ayton going end zone, back of the end zone.
Ooh, ouch.
And DeJuan Pulley at the very back of the end zone went up high for it, incomplete, second down.
That'll stop the clock now, and the streaks can get a play called in the huddle.
Ayton's thrown the ball 28 times in this game now. 14 in the first half, 14 in the second half. And more to come with the streaks trailing by two touchdowns, second and 10 from the Pioneer 14-yard line. Ayton in the gun, Ramirez to his right. Three wideouts to the short side of the field to the right. The pressure's on. Ayton flushed out of the pocket. Rolling left. Has the look downfield. Now trying to tuck it into the far side of the field. Makes positive yardage out of it and steps out of bounds right at the 11 for a gain of 3. But that took another 8 seconds off the clock. A minute 24 to go. And third and 7.
Now, we have a different story. If he's scrambling to his right, he's still, you know, as being that dominant hand, he's still able to put the ball up. But as he's rolling to his left, and you really don't want to turn the ball over, it's hard to flip your hips and get the shoulders around to try to throw that ball. So a good decision
there. Unless you're Mahomes for Kansas City.
He can do a lot.
A little bit different.
That's why he plays on Sunday.
That's right.
But, you know, did a good job there of taking whatever he could but still get out of bounds to stop the clock.
Mahomes switches hands and throws the ball, actually.
He does, yes.
That's right. Streaks 3 for 5 on third downs just in this fourth quarter alone. They also have a fourth
corner
down conversion.
Blitz.
Empty backfield for Ayton. Steps up in the pocket. Wings it across the middle of the field. It's caught by DeJuan Pulley in the end zone.
Yep.
And that gets the streaks back within a touchdown with a minute 18 to go in the game. For DeJuan Pulley, his second touchdown of the season. His first one back in the Rock Island game. And an all-important extra point coming up for the Silver Streaks. And Ayton had some juice on that pass. Credit to DeJuan for bringing it in.
Absolutely. And that's, Jake, you'll probably see this too. And that's the area I was talking about with the four shell and one linebacker is the hook curl region is going to be open, and they're able to hit it.
The Streaks are going for two.
Ayton under center. Tosses it to Kobe. He's going to throw it into the end zone, intended for DeJuan Pulley again in a man-to-man battle for it. And now the Streaks have to get the ball back with a minute 17 to go with an onside kick. And with a touchdown, would have to then get the extra point to force the tie. So the strategy there is, guys, what?
Jake?
You still need another touchdown, so what difference does it make if you go for two here or not?
Right, that's true. And, you know, if you get the onside kick, a touchdown automatically ties the game up,
right,
and an extra point wins it. That's just, you know, thinking ahead and wanting to.
So less pressure to try to get it this time than to get it the second time?
Yeah, I don't know. So at this point now it's a touchdown, a two-point conversion just to tie. I don't know.
Yeah, you have to convert
right
at this point.
Yeah,
right.
You know, at this point, with the record, the way it would be, if the Streaks were to tie it up and just have to kick an extra point to tie, I would assume Coach Wash would have gone for it anyway. So, you know, I think it's kind of a wash either way you think about it.
Nice.
You like that?
Well,
I see
done.
What you did there.
Okay. All right.
Here we go. Onside kick.
13 place scoring drive, 76 yards, 3 minutes, 26
bounce
seconds.
High.
The onside kick.
Get it, get it, get it.
Off the Silver Streak player on the far side and out of bounds. It bounced just a little extra hop. It just went a little bit high, and I couldn't tell who it was on the far side. I'm not sure if it was Dylan McBride.
Had it gone 10 yards? Did it go the full 10 or no?
I think that's what they were waiting for. Because whoever it was standing at the Alleman 49-yard line, and it came right to him, but it was right on the sideline. And as footballs do, it was just a tricky hop, that little extra bounce. spinning end over end, made it hard to bring in right on the sideline, and it went off the Silver Streak player on the far side and off his fingertips out of bounds.
And that was oddly played by the Pioneers. Usually you go after that ball.
Even absolutely.
Even if it's you know, shorter than 10 yards, you go get it because you're going to get the penalty out of it. But they stayed back, and that ball went 11 yards, and there was not a Pioneer near it at that point in time.
So with a minute 17, the Pioneers take over at their own 49-yard line as the Streaks couldn't bring in the onside kick that would have given them a chance to tie it up. And now Allman can just tuck it in tight, take a knee. Silver Streaks do have a couple of timeouts still to use, so they do have to run the play. And it runs left, and the Streaks stack it up in Galesburg territory at the 48, and Galesburg calls timeout immediately with one remaining now and a minute 10 to play.
Yeah, and you go back to at the beginning when Coach Watch was pleading for that timeout back earlier, and people, you know, maybe wondering why is he worried about one timeout. He had to use a timeout, he thought, in a manner that he didn't feel like he should have to. And unfortunately, the way the ball was set, he had to call one. Now, that third timeout would have been really nice to have.
Well, and again, and maybe, Jake, you know, we were speculating earlier when the Streaks got called for the delay of game penalty when we were down right.
Thinking about that, too.
Goal to go at the 20.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that is one of the things that Coach Washabaugh was considering, thinking we burned one earlier when he didn't feel that they should have had to use one.
Yeah.
So he didn't want to have to use another one. So having two remaining here keeps that glimmer of hope alive.
Well, the other value of the timeout in the time which you were talking about there, Brad, is we were wound up. That could have been a good time to calm guys down.
That's true.
But if we use it there, we just use our last timeout here.
Right
we don't
here,
have
yes.
to go. So, you know, it's...
It's going to be tough because you do the math and
right,
you know,
it's
the
not,
Streaks will stop
right.
them here under, you know, with just over a minute. You would think call another timeout. They can run a play. And then run all the way down. So, I mean, it does work. If we can stop them, we can get the ball back, but with just so little time left.
Right. Allman keeps it packed in tight. Sheets with a handoff, and he'll cross the 45 to about the 44-yard line before the officials blow the whistles to stop the forward progress. He'll be about 3 yards short of the first down, and the clock stops with a minute 4 to go, and the Streaks using their final timeout. Nate Sheets, 25 carries, 230 yards, 3 touchdowns tonight. And a big third down coming.
Yikes.
Needing 3 yards. And the Streaks have stopped Allman. Streaks stopped Allman on a third down on the first time it happened back in the first quarter. Have stopped them on third down only once since then.
So you got to find a way to sell out, you know, and do whatever you can here because it's only third and four. So 4 yards is going to be the end of the ball game, obviously, for the Allman Pioneers and the Streaks. So, you know, you got to find a way to sell out and make a play here to stop. Then they're going to run it down at 35 seconds. So it depends on how fast the officiating crew sets the ball. And, you know, you're looking at a punt right around the 18-second mark, if my math's right, and obviously that's not good odds, but at least it's a chance.
So third down for Allman at the Galesburg 44-yard line. They need to get inside the 41 for a
hey,
first
jump.
Down.
Sure
and there's a flag and a false start called immediately, and that'll help the cause.
Did we stem there, Jake? Did we beat them at their own game?
Yeah, we did.
Streaks were stunting at the line
very
for
nice.
Sure. So that'll take it back to the Galesburg 49-yard line. It'll be third and 8 now. And again, not a tick went off the clock, a minute 4 to go. And the Streaks with much better odds to be able to stop a third and 8 compared to a third and 3. But you still got to get it done. They've got a couple of awfully good weapons on that Allman offense, including Sheets, who's been the workhorse tonight, and Matichek, who's so deadly dangerous out of the quarterback spot as well. Here we go, third and 8. At the 49-yard line.
Does Allman dare throw the ball here?
Last gasp for the Streaks. He's in a short gun. And Natacek on the keeper, grinding to the right side.
Got
He's got the first down. He takes it all the way inside the 40, down to the 37-yard line, and that'll do it. So their biggest third down conversion of the night to seal the victory as Matichek runs it to the 37-yard line, a gain of 12. his second biggest run of the night. And now all he has to do is take a knee.
Well, it wasn't for lack of effort, gentlemen. It was just, you know, you can't help but go back to the big penalty on the one, and that makes everything different, and you can't help but go back to the strip.
Inadvertent whistle.
The inadvertent whistle, yep. On the strip set, or the strip play by Nico, and a touchdown that should have been had there. And
a holding penalty that negated a touchdown pass.
Yep, a lot of woulda, shouldas.
Matichek takes the knee.
They'll be slow to blow this in. They won't blow it in until it's under 25.
Yeah,
they don't have to set the ball, and the clock is already under 25 seconds to go. So
that's it.
Alleman does not even have to snap it one more time.
Oh, but they're going to.
No, they're not.
Oh, no, they're not. Okay.
So the Pioneers improve their record to 4-4. They remain playoff eligible, or they remain open to getting into the playoffs. They still have to win next week to do it. And the Silver Streaks' hopes of finishing on a three-game winning streak are ended with a 28-21 loss. It had a whole lot going on in this game, but the bottom line is they come up short, and we'll have one more chance at a win next week. It'll be senior night with Granite City coming to town. We'll talk with Mike Washabaugh when we come back as part of our post-game coverage from Van Dyke Field on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Live coverage of GHS Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's. They'll hang the big hat up on the sign so you can see it. By attorneys James Blake and Tricia Blake Miller at Blake Law Office in Galesburg. And by Dickerson's Photography, encouraging you to come out and catch all the action of local high school sports. Go Streaks!
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do.
Dave's Auto Body.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by McDonald's in Galesburg and Knoxville. I'm loving it. By Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street, home of the lifetime warranty. By Kehoe Eye Care. They care for people, not just eyes. By Midstate Manufacturing, the headquarters for any of your steel material fabrication or powder coating needs. By Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next project. By Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg. You better call Dave's. Silver Streaks football is also brought to you by Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By Yem Auto Group on North Henderson in Galesburg. Home to Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Say yes to Yem. By Kratty Insurance Agency, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. By Century 21 on North Henderson in Galesburg, your local leader in real estate. By Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. And by the all-new Galesburg Toyota, the dealership everyone is talking about. Proud to bring you GHS Silver Streaks football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Post-game coverage of Silver Streaks football here on WGIL with our coaches gets underway with our coaches interview brought to you by Craddy Insurance, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. Jake Miller is with head coach Mike Washabaugh.
Yeah, coach, you know, we saw a whole lot of stuff tonight, and unfortunately, I think we're gonna look back at this one as I don't know, a missed opportunity here and there, and we fought a lot of things tonight in terms of adversity from inadvertent whistles and untimely penalties and things. What have you? I know you just got off the field, but you thought about the message of how you address our kids on a game like that. That, you know, I feel like was obviously winnable, and just some things just didn't go the right way tonight.
Yeah, and I mean that happens. You know, I don't think it was a lack of, you know, preparation or you know, effort or things like that. You know, you're playing a playoff type team, and you're going to get their best effort. They're not going to make mistakes, which they did. They gave us the ball back on a couple attempts. We were able to get the ball out, but you know, we just they won those pendulum swing type. They weren't really plays, but a lot of things that happened. You know, I mean, everything from missed field goals. You know, and I know a lot of it gets pointed to the refs, but not going there. But you know, I mean, we had our opportunities. We had the ball down there on the one. You know, to tie it up, and then we get a 15-yard penalty. I mean, it's just. That just goes along with all of those other things. You know, I'm not pointing the finger at anyone or anything that happened during that game. You know, you got to be able to overcome those things to beat, you know, playoff caliber teams. And our team's not there yet.
Right. And I commend you for, you know, taking the high road on that, because I certainly didn't most of this broadcast tonight. But let's talk a little bit about it tonight. We saw a probably a career high for Connor Ayton throwing the ball. I think Brad had him at 34 or 36 passing attempts. Something that did you saw that going into the game, or was that something that just kind of developed as the game went on?
Yeah, and I mean, traditionally how they defend us, they at least put seven in the box, you know, all the 7 years I've been here. So I knew we were going to throw a little bit more, and just some of the injuries we're having up front, you know, especially we had a lineman go down Wednesday. So in practice, we've been kind of shuffling around. So I anticipated throwing more. They don't pressure very much. So I knew we were only going to get five-man pressures, which put all five linemen on an island. We're able to get into a lot of empty passing game, you know. But that's just kind of how the game. I kind of felt bad. We were taking touches away from Kobe. We were moving the chains those first three drives by nickel and dime in the pass game, and Kobe getting the ball, you know, occasional run, and then Connor taking off on some of the pass concept stuff. You know, we were able to keep nickel and dime, so I didn't really go away with it. But then we were able to get into some more of our traditional stuff, you know, in the second half. You know, I was just trying to take what they were giving us throughout the game.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your time, Coach Washball, and good luck next week.
Thanks, as always, to Mike Washaba joining us here in the post game. Streaks fall 28-21. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back and look at our final statistics, run through our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game, and wrap things up from Van Dyke Field as the Streaks fall. Disappointing fashion, 28-21 to Alleman. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't.
If you ever get some downtime during harvest, come out to YEM and test drive a new Silverado. See our 2018 Silverado High Country. This is your top-of-the-line Silverado. Right now, you'll save $8,500. The 2019 half-ton Silverados are here. Brand new body style. This is a beautiful pickup. And right now, you'll save $7,000. So here's to all our hard-working friends out in the field. Come see us soon at YEM, North Henderson, Galesburg.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Office Specialist, providing solutions for your business. By Templeton Roofing, Galesburg's oldest and most experienced roofing contractor. Visit them at templetonroofing.com. And by Tom Irons and Accounting Systems on Simmons Street in downtown Galesburg.
Prepare to save more, spend less, and avoid getting ripped off. Listen to Clark Howard weekday mornings at 9 on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
28-21, Alleman defeats the Galesburg Silver Streaks on the next-to-last game of the regular season and the final game in a six-team Western Big Six Conference season. And so one of our orders of business in the postgame, a Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. I think we're pretty unanimous on this one here tonight, aren't we, guys? Pretty easy call.
Yeah, you know, you take a Nico Delagiannis, who was able to go out there and get three takeaways. One is an interception, one is a strip, and one is a fumble recovery. So that would be my pick. Jake?
Yeah, no doubt. There's no argument for me.
So Nico Delagiannis, our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. How many times do you ever get three turnover recoveries in a game? So credit to him, and just unfortunately Streaks couldn't take enough advantage of it here, falling tonight 28-21. Our post-game statistics brought to you by Century 21, your local leader in real estate. Kobe Ramirez for the Streaks, 21 carries, 110 yards tonight, including a touchdown run. Connor Ayton, 11 carries, 43 yards, and a touchdown. Ayton finished with one touchdown through the air as well. Ended up having him, I guess I never did add up my numbers, 1, 2, 3, let's see, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 15 of 29 passing, with a touchdown and two interceptions, 187 yards on the night. DeJuan Pulley, the leading receiver, 8 receptions for 75 yards, including that touchdown. David Vaynerman, a 36-yard reception. Kobe Ramirez, 2 catches for 24. Chase Castile, a 13-yard reception. Justice Gatson, three receptions for 39 yards. Had it not been for Nico's three turnover recoveries, I might have given Justice the Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Play of the Game for that 22-yard run, catch and run, when he battled himself all the way down to the 10-yard line. One of the most impressive receptions we've seen all season long. Nate Sheets finished the night on the ground for Alleman with 25 carries, 230 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Quarterback Sam Matichek, 10 rushes for 78 yards. Josh Timm, 6 carries for 40 yards. And Max Contreras carried it 3 times for 8 yards. Matichek finished 59 yards passing. He was 7 for 9. First 2 passes incomplete. Nothing after that was incomplete, including an 18-yard pass play to Max Contreras for a touchdown. Josh Timm had 3 receptions as the leading receiver for the Pioneers. Wrap up the postgame show when we come back from Van Dyke Field, 28-21, the final of both the varsity and the sophomore games, which Alleman won both. You're listening to Silver Streaks football coverage on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Concrete is one of the most expensive and imperative parts of any building project. Whether you're laying the foundation for your dream home or putting in a decorative concrete patio, Courtright Construction of Oneida is the best in the business. So give them a call. The right choice for your next concrete project.
Hi, Danny Lipford here from Today's Homeowner. Tuning in to Today's Homeowner Radio might be the best decision you make all week. We'll set you up with expert advice, clever tips, and helpful hacks to easily tackle your to-do list. And we'll even throw in some fun home improvement stories along the way. So join us, and you'll be a home improvement superhero in no time.
Today's Homeowner, Saturday mornings 9 to 11 on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg's Talk.
Football and auto insurance are very similar in nature. In football, penalties can keep you from scoring. And with auto insurance, not having the right amount of coverage throws up a big flag. Hi, I'm Mark Craddy with Craddy Insurance, your Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. When I'm on your offensive line, you'll never have to worry about getting tackled. And our money-saving auto home discount is the extra point. Stop by Craddy Insurance on North Henderson Street and find out why Craddy and Rockford Mutual Insurance are the game-winning combination.
WGIL, proudly connecting you to Galesburg.
Hi, it's Katie Carlson from WGIL with this community reminder. Faith United Methodist Church in Galesburg is hosting a baked potato bar on Sunday, October 14th. Serving starts at 11:30, and for a free will donation, you can get a large baked potato with plenty of toppings. To find out more, click on community events at WGIL.com.
These community announcements are being brought to you by the staff and local ownership of WGIL.
If your business utilizes equipment with air filters and dust collectors, let Midstate Manufacturing save you money. Filter Service Center, part of Midstate, specializes in the sale and service of every kind of filter. And they clean them too, which provides 95% efficiency at half the price of replacement. Get on their delivery route today.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
28-20, the final. Thank you for reminding me of that, Sean. 28-20, the final, as Alleman wins it here tonight. Silver Streaks 1-7 on the season. They finish the conference at 1-4. Rock Island, easy winners over United Township as expected. Moline wins the conference with a 28-21 win down at Quincy. So, guys, I don't know if we can encapsulate this game in final thoughts here, and maybe we can just focus on, you know, how you move forward into the final week of the season. We've seen the Silver Streaks in all kinds of situations. We saw lots of forward progress throughout the season, and unfortunately there were some things that kind of came to bear here tonight in a 1-7 season that, you know, I don't think we've really seen all season long. But, you know, if somebody says, well, you're 1-7, some of the things that happened here tonight are the kinds of things that somebody might say are pretty common in a 1-7 team. But there are some things that came to bear here tonight that really haven't been an issue throughout much of this season, I thought.
Well, I'll say that we played well enough to win that game.
Sure, you know, absolutely.
And we were in position to win it, particularly in the third quarter with the number of turnovers that the Pioneers had, and we weren't able to capitalize on all of those opportunities. I think, was that when we scored twice?
Mm-hmm.
We were taking advantage of two of those.
Yes.
But, you know, we had other opportunities that were lost. You know, the penalty with third and one, it would have been the 15-yard penalty there, and then we had a delay of game on top of that, and that was a drive that we lost. We go back.
Ended up with an interception in the end zone.
We go back to our first drive, you know, where we had a nice drive we put together. We missed a field goal. We missed a field goal right before halftime. But, I mean, that's still a 42-yard field goal. You know, not to say it was a gimme, and certainly none of those are gimmies. But it's just a game of lost opportunities. And, you know, our goal, if we looked at it last week after a win, to say, hey, let's win out, you know, we still have an opportunity to scrap another win here as we get ready to host Granite City, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so we have them coming in next week. Jake, your thoughts?
Yeah, I echo that. I come away from this thought, from this game, feeling ill, to be honest. And yeah. and it's just for our guys, and it's for our coaches that we all are friends with, most of these guys, and we have these kids, and when you get beat by a team that's better than you, which has happened to us multiple times this season, that's just you take it, you tip your cap, and you move on. When you get beat like this with just so many ill-gotten events that occurred, is sometimes a tough pill to take. And you know, coaching staffs have all dealt with this, and the kids have to deal with this as well. But you know, it's just too bad. You know, you become a fan. We're obviously fans of these guys, and that's where I'm at this point. Is this one just kind of hurts a little bit more, I guess, than all the other ones? But ultimately, you gotta, you know, shove this one away and get ready for next week. You have 1 week left, and you've got a group of seniors that you have to get ready for their last game.
That's right.
And emotions that deal with that, and you know, it's always tough to kind of, you know, handle that situation. And you know, you have a program that you're continuing to build. So I'm not going to feel good about this one for a while. I'm sure that will pale in comparison to the way the coaching staff will feel about this. And you know, hopefully they'll continue to do the good work that they've done all year long, and I know that they will, and we'll see hopefully another improved product next week.
Well, something that comes with it being the last week of the season is your install doesn't become as much. There's not much need to condition because you're still with most conditioning, you're going to be 2 weeks out from the impacts of that. So practices become shorter. We have cooler weather coming in. The nights or the days are getting shorter, and that's the time of the year that we run into. And so at least you have that, you know, with the kids, you're saying, hey, things are winding down, where practice is getting shorter, we're running through things quicker, we know the routine, and let's get ready to get a victory here on senior night.
We appreciate your time and your thoughts and your input as always, guys. We'll see you next week to wrap up the regular season.
You bet.
Sounds good.
As Sean said, Granite City in town, they'll be playing for a playoff berth, so the Streaks will have their hands full. But, you know, what else is new? Why not cap off the season in the same kind of way? 28-20, the final here tonight. Alleman defeats the Silver Streaks. Galesburg 1-7 now. And the sophomores lost by a nearly identical score at 28-21. For Sean McCutcheon at the downtown studios, for Jake Miller, for Sean Hickey, I'm Brad Benowitz. Hope you can be with us next week in the final home game and senior night when Granite City comes to town. Good night from Van Dyke Field.
Thanks for listening to GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg Sports.